All right, welcome to Hypeables Glee Chat, episode 100. Which is absolutely insane. Before we start talking about episode 100, thank you guys for picking up after I jumped off last week. I actually wasn't even on the episode, so I don't know what I'm talking about. But at the last minute, I had something kind of crazy I had to go tend to. So you guys took over episode 99, Bay Sadies, which I knew immediately that was Jack's title he came up with when I saw it pop up in my podcast. So anyway, yeah, thank
Oddly
you guys.
Enough, you would think it would be a title that Jack came up with, but I think I just knew that he wanted it that badly that, like, I suggested it in the beginning, and then it was just a thing. I didn't even ask, because I knew it was going to be it.
I've noticed, Mitch, that you're very into, like, the titles of our episodes.
They're cute, because it's kind of, like, a good way for you to look back and, like, see, like, F-Bomb Angel. I remember that episode. That is our chicken nugget crazy wonky face. Like, you know, the feels of the 100th episode, I know.
Yeah. No, for sure. So joining me tonight is obviously Mitch, Caitlin, Jack, and Natalie are your usual recurring characters on the show. I can't believe it. We've reached our 100th episode, and we were just talking right before we started recording, and other than Game of Owns, which is a chapter-by-chapter analysis of every Game of Thrones book, we're, I think, the first podcast to reach 100 episodes, right, Mitch? You said you researched
Unhypeable.
Yeah. Sorry.
Well, do we count MuggleCast? I don't think we would count MuggleCast because it's not Hypeable Born. Neither is Game of Owns. Yeah. So, yeah, we're definitely first 100.
Yeah.
We're the first original Hypeable to get 100, I believe.
Right.
Because Game of Owns not actually formed by Hypeable either. It's just hosted.
No, but I think that there's a couple coming up that, like, Team Wolf must be close, Natalie, and
we're on like 89. Not we'll get 100. Pardon?
Oh, sorry, I was saying Rewatchable's up there as well.
Oh, Rewatchable, yeah, because Rewatchable's done so many like shows. But right. Jack, do you actually listen to Rewatchable out of curiosity?
Yeah, I listen to doing Avatar, but I never watched Pushing Daisies
Okay, just curious. Yeah, Teen Wolf will get 100 during the next season of Teen Wolf, I think.
Nice.
So
yeah, we were wondering, before season 6 of Glee started, we were sort of hypothesizing with, you know, how many episodes would we land on episode 100 at the same time as the Glee series finale. But honestly, we're too good at this, so we ended up having too many episodes to do that. But yeah, it's a significant time for us on Glee Chat to have our 100th episode. I can't believe it because I'm like, I've only missed a handful of those episodes. You know, I've hosted pretty much, I would say probably 90 of those, maybe a little less. And I'm just thinking back, like, that's a significant number, 100 episodes. Some of these are even 2 or 3 hours a piece of us just rambling about Glee. What's left to even talk about at this point?
Well, think about this. If there's 100 episodes of Glee and there's been, if we've done 100 episodes of Glee Chat and there's been maybe, what, 110, 120 episodes of Glee so far, there are more hours of Glee Chat existing than there are of Glee existing. Because, which is actually something that got pointed out to me about my Teen Wolf podcast by one of the guys on the show. He was like, so there are more hours of your podcast than there are of our actual show existing in the world. I was like, yes, that's true. But yeah, it's the same for Glee because we've had so many 2 or 3 hour episodes and we're at 100. It means that there's maybe, you know, 200 hours of Glee Chat, maybe, you know, maybe a little bit more or less. But there is more Glee Chat time in the world than there is actual Glee episode time, which is either super cool or super lame. I don't know.
Exactly.
For better or for worse.
Yeah.
And for, you know, another thing to think about, too, is that, you know, Natalie and Mitch, the three of us, have been on since the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, we've seen the show grow and transform in really great ways. And definitely Caitlin and Jack, although you're both somewhat new to these 100 episodes, you're still a huge part of the show every week. So, yeah, celebration time. I wish that I had the energy and time and money that we could sort of celebrate it in a bigger way, but either way, it's still a very exciting time. Jack and Caitlin, have you guys listened to every single episode we've ever recorded?
No, I have. I listened from the very beginning.
Yeah, I remember, Jack.
It feels, even though I haven't been on, I feels like I have been.
Yeah.
In some way, even though I haven't, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I know the feeling when I've been on, like, a podcast after listening to it for so long or whatever. Has that ever happened to me? I feel like it has to have by now. Yeah, you do feel like you've gotten to know them after a bit. Go ahead, Jack.
Well, I even became pretty close friends with, well, really, you, John and Mitch, you guys, pretty early on as well, you know, so it feels like I have known you since the...
Yeah, that's true.
That was just by chance, just by, like, interacting on Twitter and then...
Right.
From there on, you know, yeah.
I know. I have to give a shout out, Jack, to our ATW chat vlogs around the world chat that you...
I remember that.
Yeah, that the people that did them were myself, Jack, Jessica, old host Jessica, and Saman, a faithful listener of Glee Chat. So it's fun, too, because you can go back and see them, and, like, my hair is just...
But don't do it.
Don't do it. It's, I mean, do do it because they're on YouTube forever, so it's really cute. I put them in nice, convenient playlists, so you can check out the four of us. And yeah, it's a big transformation if you know what we look like today to then, because it's like it's been like 3 years now, hasn't it, Jack? Since we've done those vlogs.
Yeah, about 3 years. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was it was interesting, and that was that's pretty much how Jack and I became such good friends because like. We started interacting on that, so, I mean, good feels. I'm really happy that we did that.
Our first episode of Glee Chat was on September 15th, 2011. Whoa. So that's even weirder, because it's like, wow, yeah, it is almost, not almost, but pretty coming up on 4 years that we've been doing that. I mean, I kind of forgot how much 100 episodes is until we just started recording, and... Yeah, 4 years of this. That's a lot for the three of us who've been doing it that long.
I totally remember my recording still of when I was submitting it to you, John. How freaking excited I got.
Oh, yeah.
You wrote so me we back. Actually,
so in the like, quote-unquote hiring process, I asked each person to submit... I forget exactly what it was, like reading. I think you had to read something into a recording just so I could hear your voices, basically.
You wanted like an opinion of like something about what we thought on Glee. And I've never used any recording software or anything like that before. Like I totally not made it up, but like I like self-taught myself in an afternoon. Like, you know.
So it's actually funny because I had just ran into those files. Maybe I'll save. Maybe I'll
shut
save
up.
Those.
You didn't. I need those for this episode. I need to hear it.
I was thinking maybe we should save them for the final episode because I think it would be like a great way to sort of look back. 100 episodes is a great milestone, but let's wait because we only have a couple episodes left. I recently ran into them. I'm going to have to dig them up again because I don't know exactly where they are. But I was like, oh my god, everyone like really sounds so professional.
Like the audition files.
Oh my god.
So I'm going to have to definitely bring those back up for our last episode.
I really want to hear everyone else's because I definitely remember mine like word
that's
by
true.
Word. But I've never heard anyone else's. So yeah, that'd be really cool to like... for the
Caitlin and Jack, you guys were so good that we just were like, you don't have to.
Yeah, you guys don't have to. I'm pretty sure that mine was about, like, Klain not being good going into season three because, like...
Actually, Natalie, because... yours sticks out really well in my head because you sounded so professional. Like, I was like, oh my god, is she like a radio personality? Like, she really, like... you just really, like... You could tell that you prepared very well for it, and I tried really hard. Well, I'm happy that you guys made it onto the show eventually. Anyway,
John, I didn't even visit Hypable regularly when
I didn't know the site at all. I got recommended by a friend who was obsessed with MuggleNet and followed the site over and was like, "These people are doing." Oh my god, John! I have to tell you this as well. My friend who wanted me to try out for the show because she knew I ranted a lot about Glee.
Yeah.
And sorry, this might be a better story for later, but I just have to tell you it right now. She wanted me to audition for Glee and for this podcast because, you know, she knew I ranted about Glee and she was following Hyperbole when it was starting up. And when she was like, oh, you should do it, she was like, and she told me, not only was she like, here, she told me, like, about you, she was like, here, you can listen to this one episode of, like, Smart Mouths that he did, so you can get a vibe for what he's like and what he might like. Like, she prepped me.
Wow.
You wouldn't believe it. It was, like, like, really, like, big deal, because she knew, like, all of the stuff that, like, Andrew and all of the MuggleNet guys were doing. And, yeah, so I listened to the podcast that you were on in advance to prepare. Yeah. So, yeah, that was...
Oh, yeah, John. I was randomly on an episode of Smart Mouths back in 2010, I think, when I was promoting this MTV thing that I did. That's so funny. I forgot I even did that.
John, I definitely stalked you, too. Like, I found johnthrasher.net.
I'm pretty sure I'm gonna ease out of my room now. I'll see you guys later.
That is so embarrassing.
JohnThrasher.net. I thought that you had like this beautiful storytelling voice, written voice, because you were writing about like a 4th of July event that you went to and the joys of life. And it was so cute. Yeah, and then a lot of it was just like posts about Serena Williams, I'm sure, because I was just like skip, skip, skip.
That sounds very accurate, yes.
See, well, I just typed in johnthrasher.net and it all came up in Chinese.
Yeah, I was just about to say that I didn't renew that domain because I don't really use that anymore. But if you would like to check out my old blog, you can find it at, I think, johnthrasher.wordpress.com or something like that. But yeah, that's funny, Mitch. I did have a website and I did a lot of like personal blogging back when personal blogging was a thing. But yeah. Well, thanks, guys, for stalking me. I'm glad that you are approved of my lifestyle to come onto the show.
I'm on it now, and you've got my 5/2014 resolutions.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so very old.
Number one, workout. Sorry.
Which I did. Thank you very much.
Walking them streets of New York City, right?
What's that, Mitch?
Walking them streets of New York City.
No, I worked out at the gym, thank you very much, and the pool, and the tennis court, and on a bike. So.
No, I wasn't knocking you. It's a hard walk in New York City. It's a good exercise. I think you'd follow
through. It's currently flurrying right now, and I have to go to a birthday party after this, so I'm really annoyed to have to walk through it. So yeah, it is really painful and annoying.
Well, let's just have a Kiki instead.
Yeah, there you go. All right, well, that's our 100th episode. That's not the end of it, but that's our 100th episode.
Bye.
Nostalgia. That was it. Bye.
That was it. See you guys. Our little nostalgia segment, but we will have even more nostalgia as we close out Glee Chat in the next couple of weeks. We're still kind of trying to figure out exactly what we're going to do. Right now we're leaning towards doing a show, a normal recap show for the final episode of Glee, and then doing a final episode later, maybe like a week or so later, that's sort of the final episode of Glee Chat, so that we're not combining all of our goodbyes into the same episode that we say goodbye to Glee on, because it just feels like that would take forever and there's too much to talk about.
Yeah, it's a dual episode of Glee, and that would have been like
that's right,
a 5-hour episode of Glee Chat. It never would end.
Yeah, that just would not be good. So look out for that in the coming weeks, and we will have more specifics and some hopefully fun surprises and things like that as we head into the final episodes of Glee Chat and Glee. For now, for tonight, let's rehash last night's episode of Glee, episode 607, which was titled Transitioning. A lot of interesting transitions happened last night. It was a very fitting title for a show, which Glee actually does a good job, I think, of titling their episodes around what's happening. excuse me, I keep coughing. Yeah, the Hurt Locker made no sense.
No, it didn't.
Except it hurt.
What's the Hurt Locker about? Like the actual movie to does it have any relevance to that episode of those episodes?
Not at all.
Not at all.
It's just words that sounded good to Sue Sylvester.
Or maybe it was like her locker of doom that she had going on, or clean locker.
Yeah, well, it was like the locker of things that she wanted to hurt, presumably.
Yeah.
The Hurt Locker is a movie about like bomb disposal in wartime. Like it's I don't understand, but yeah.
It's just strange.
Well, yeah. I want to hurt that episode, let's just say that.
No, I'm always a big fan of, like, it's funny that these two names of these shows sound so similar, because I promise they're not the same with their content, but Gossip Girl and Gilmore Girl do a really good job of, like, ripping off a movie title and making it, like, a character's name, so it works really well in their plot, and I wish that the Glee writers would take a little hint from those, because, John, you say you like the episode titles. These episode titles drive me crazy. I was having a big moment when I was What the World Needs Now, if you guys remember that episode that we just recorded last week. And then I remember Jack was like, it's legit. And I'm like, no, it's silly, it's lazy. And I still think it is. But, I mean, this one I kind of get.
That particular title was a little weird. But overall, I'd say over six seasons, I don't know, they lean a little better for me, in my opinion. Anyway, let's talk about tonight's episode. Vocal Adrenaline performs You Give Love a Bad Name, and Will yells at them for being so intolerant. I didn't particularly like this performance. I don't like this song. I know. I know that you would have a problem with it, Jack. I thought of you when I heard the music, but... I don't know. Did you? So, Jack, you loved it. Did anyone else not like it?
I just want to know why Clint has had more solos than any of the main characters on the show this season.
Oh my god! His American accent is rough as well.
He's not American.
It's so bad.
No, he's English. The Wanted are English, and that's the.
I thought he had a lisp.
He has a strange. He does have a lisp, but he also has a strange accent.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's like he trips over his words and he has a lisp. It's kind of like hard to understand what he says. And I feel like at times, I don't know, that they must have taken like five cuts and this was still just only the best, you know, that you could barely understand them in. It's almost difficult to get through his scenes sometimes.
Yeah, sadly it is. It's surprising because, I don't know, usually that's something that, you know, Glee or... casting directors would notice, I would assume, but it is prominent. You're right. It's something I noticed, especially in this episode.
Well, I mean, with performers, like Glee is sometimes too focused on how well they can sing and dance, not necessarily how well they can
act, that's true.
You know, in this case, hold an accent, you know?
Yeah. Well, Will and Emma,
we're never going to agree on music, are we?
I don't think we are. I mean, I like 80s here and there. I particularly love some of the like 80s synth pop that they gave to Darren Criss to sing in a couple of seasons ago. I don't know. I'm just not really into it lately, but I know you're a big 80s.
Bon Jovi's so good.
I guess.
They've done Bon Jovi before. Overrated. This wasn't the first time, right, Jack?
I'm going to kill you, John. You're not overrated.
Sorry, Bon Jovi's overrated. That's my thought.
Jack, wasn't the... Didn't Neil Patrick Harris do a Bon Jovi song?
No, they've done Living on a Prayer and Start Me Up both in mashups.
Okay, I was about to say.
It's My Life both in mashups, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, not really memorable performances.
Okay, John, please leave now.
But apparently Jack thinks it is, so that's just what we have
I think Jack sat on these. I think that Bon Jovi songs, as they've been performed in Glee, have been great performance numbers.
My Life Confessions number in the first season of the boys' mashup. That's like iconic. Like not like the true. Fandom loves that performance like hardcore big time. So I don't know. I don't really have. Flavors. I didn't even know you give love a bad name. I didn't even know that was Bon Jovi. I think I thought it was Aerosmith.
Oh my god. I'm sorry. Natalie, it's usually my job to not know an artist.
Well, today it's me.
Didn't I say John Lennon was dead at one point?
No, John Lennon is dead.
No, I did it again.
Okay, move on.
I said Paul McCartney was dead. That's what it was. Yeah.
Kanye West discovered Paul McCartney.
Oh right.
I can't even talk about it. No, look.
All right, we're going to move on for everyone's
help. I
remember
why Will started yelling at them initially. Like, what did they do after that performance? Like,
I don't know. He was just in a bitchy mood.
He was like, you kids are all mean.
That was when Blaine and... Oh, no, that was after.
Yeah, it was after.
Yeah, never mind.
I could be wrong. No, I wrote this show note, but I feel like I wrote that in wrong now because no one else remembers it and I don't either.
Well, let's move on because what happened then was that Will and Emma are talking about Vocal Adrenaline in the park when Blaine and Rachel show up to tell them that they got egged by the team. By the way, they have eggs all over them. Back at Carmel, Will gives them a lesson on tolerance and introduces Unique as he starts rapping again.
Yes, just what we needed.
And they sing the song Same Love by Macklemore, which is actually a really great song when a person who is a great artist and should be rapping is doing those things. Will sort of sang the Macklemore part and Unique sang the Mary Lambert part. I immediately went to Twitter with, like, I think I was tweeting, like, no, 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 Will's rapping. No, stop the humanity. Please stop. And, Jack, what did you think?
It was bad. I love this song, and I'm so excited that Unique is back, like, and especially the way she comes back. And they didn't have to bring her back for this episode, but they did.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to keep hearing her sing, and but then Will was rapping. But then I just wanted to keep hearing her sing, and then Will was rapping, and it was terrible.
Vocal Adrenaline was just like, what is going on right now with this performance?
And here's what I want to know. They egged Rachel and Blaine, which is like, whatever, it's shitty. They're like, you know, attacking the competition, you know, whatever. But like, they weren't. I don't know if intolerant is the word I would have used, like, for what they were doing. It's like they were being douchebags, but they weren't, like, being prejudiced, and that song is about prejudice, and I don't quite understand, like, how that all worked. Like, why you thought that was, like, it was less of a, like, don't be intolerant and more like don't be mean to people, and right. I don't get how same love is, like, to do with that, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, why would having Unique come out and sing about these particular lyrics when Vocal Adrenaline were just being like stupid high school.
I think it was like, well, here's a Vocal Adrenaline alumni who, you know, used to be bullied and is now cool and stuff. And it's like, yeah, and she left like the school because of it. So she clearly like wasn't up with what Vocal Adrenaline was up with, and Vocal Adrenaline hasn't changed. It's like, if you don't like Vocal Adrenaline, you take a hike, like, basically. Yeah.
Also, Will is such an idiot, and because they don't like him, he assumes that they don't like anyone, but that's not true. They're fine with everyone, they just hate him.
Yeah.
Right, that's a good point, actually.
It's true.
And later, Coach Beast returns to the school as Sheldon Beast, who has, transitioned, as we have seen in previous episodes. But at the end of the day, he realizes that his car was vandalized with the words Coach Tranny on the top, and that it was done by Clint and other members of Vocal Adrenaline. We kind of can see this coming from a mile away, right? Like, obviously, Coach Beast returning after having transitioned was never going to go over easily, even from people at McKinley. I was a little, like, nervous about this whole situation before the show aired. I was nervous that people who maybe don't watch the show would have certain comments about it or find it a little bit awkward and weird, because Glee, as we've mentioned previously on the show, likes to beat everything over your head with exactly what the message is. So it turned out that everything seemed pretty normal. It didn't seem like forced, and I thought that Dot Marie Jones better win an Emmy for this. I thought, you know, she gets nominated like every other year. So, but yeah, what were you guys' initial like reactions to Sheldon Beast? Whoever wants to take it. Natalie, I'll go to you first.
Oh, me. Okay. well, I really liked the, you know, Sue and Sam's response. Like, they're slightly like, you know, they're awkward, and they didn't like, you know, Sam's awkward and Sue is still Sue, but it's really cool, like, development with those characters.
Their friendship is so good.
Their reactions, it's really nice. Yeah. And I don't know, it seems like that they've sort of made the call, like, that the show has made the call that, like, McKinley itself, like, the school is not going to have a problem with this. She's not going to, you know, there's not going to be a problem from the students at McKinley or the staff at McKinley. I don't really understand why Vocal Adrenaline were doing that. Like, was it, like, so that, like,
they were trying to rile up
New Directions. That's the thing. So that they'd waste a week of practice, right? Like, that's,
yeah, they wanted them to think that they were intolerant about things so that they would go crazy.
It's not even like, it doesn't even mean they really believed it. I mean, there's no excuse for it. It's like they were doing it on purpose so that they would like waste time. It's so stupid. But I don't know. I thought that was a stupid plot. In terms of Vocal Adrenaline, but I really liked their reaction, like Spencer as well, like that he is really, I don't know, Spencer's like turnaround of like, yes, I actually do like music, and yes, I actually do like all of these people. It's a bit of a fast flip-flop for me. It was a bit of a like,
oh, he's smiling, it's so weird.
This is weird, I don't understand. I'm like, who are you? Like,
It's like, you're totally chill now? Are you a serial killer? I don't understand.
I have a lot of emotions and feelings about this character and the actor that I'll get into later on in this episode. I agree with you guys. Another thing that I was thinking about from a previous episode of Glee Chat was, man, that was a really quick transition, right? I mean, has it only been a mere, week or so since...
You'd hope that in Glee time it's meant to have been a few months, but given the timeline with everyone else in the show, I don't think it has.
I'm officially coming on Glee Chat to say I'm giving up trying to follow the show and its timelines, because at this point in the series, it just frankly probably doesn't matter anymore. So there's
what logic? That's crazy,
right?
John.
Exactly.
Yeah, and one tiny little aspect that I did kind of like in terms of continuity was that Will comes in from, you know, for his meeting with Sue, and you know, he's just like, oh, hey, Sheldon. Like, it felt like that he has seen Beast before came back to the school, if you know what I mean. Like, that they've been, like, still, like, you know, in contact during the whole process or whatever, which is kind of a nice little off-screen continuity. Yeah. But,
there was some nice continuity throwbacks.
Yeah.
Like, because, like, when Will was driving his fancy new car and saying how much he loves himself.
Oh, that bit where he's like, I love being rich, this is so great, yeah.
Yeah, but next to him was his, like, when, like, the muffler was dragging on the ground, like, it doesn't, like, in the first episodes. And then it hands up and he's in the good car. Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
Good point. More on that soon. In the teacher's lounge, Rachel is stressed because her dads have finally sold the house that she was apparently living in alone. Or maybe not alone, but it just kind of felt like...
I think her dad was there, but we just didn't see him. Yeah.
And there's a moment where we see Rachel trying to scare people buy the house as a ghost in the shower.
It's the greatest thing ever.
It really was.
Is it The Grudge or is it The Ring?
It's The Grudge.
Was it like Samara from The Ring or was it The Grudge?
It's definitely The Grudge because... she had a very, I don't know, I guess they both had really, like, light skin pallors, you know, but I think that exact hairstyle is meant to be, like, you can still see my eyes, not they're hidden. That's the difference between those two characters is all I've ever understood. But oh my god, I could not get over this moment. This was,
like, god, she does some weird
stuff.
That's
what I was thinking. That's exactly what my reaction
would do this.
It laughed so hard. It was so funny.
Yeah, it was perfect, because it's so... stupidly Rachel as well. Like, it's not like, why is this happening
classic
out of
Rachel.
Place? It's totally right. Like, it was
the first time I remember I had a similar reaction to you, Natalie, because I was like, oh, yeah, Rachel/Lea Michele, you're funny sometimes. You should do more of these little,
she's
like,
She's so good at comedy. She gets stuff where we're laughing at her.
Totally,
She's not, but Rachel is not a comedic character. It's more of And she's so good at it.
Well, that gives me hope for Scream Queens. Because Scream Queens is going to be a horomedy, as they're coining it. And this is pretty much what I think Scream Queens is going to represent. Like, I guess, like, moments like this, like, homages to horror movies that are still really funny, but still kind of creepy at the same time, right? Is that the feeling I'm about to understand from these interviews so far of that show?
I don't know. I haven't followed the interviews as closely, but the sort of press release about that show, which is, by the way, a Ryan Murphy show that Lea Michele will be starring in, for those of you who don't know, alongside Nick Jonas, Ariana Grande, Jamie Lee Curtis, and a bunch of other people, is that it's meant to be about a college campus that was rocked by a series of murders. And it's, like you said, a comedy horror. So, I agree with you, Mitch. I was thinking that, too. Like, oh, maybe we'll see a little more of funny, crazy Grudge version of Lea Michele.
Yeah, maybe this is like a backdoor pilot, too. Oh, no. That would be great. That would be great. I would be very happy by that. Because I do want to see Rachel in a more comedic role. And I think that would be really fun. They'd have to do a lot of transformations for characters. I don't think that's really going to happen, though. But that would have been fun. Uh-huh. I really would have appreciated some kind of, like, even, like, side plot backdoor pilot for Scream Queens before Glee ended.
I think that this was it. Not a pilot, but I think that part of the reason that they did this was a tiny little bit of an in-joke in terms of that. Like,
Sam rallies for Rachel and decides to throw a going away party at her house, which we will get into likely in very large detail very soon. Kurt changes the lesson plan for the Glee Club and says that they'll be throwing the party. They play Wheel of Musical Fortune, where the spinner has to duet with whomever they land on. Mercedes gets Roderick, and Kurt initially gets Artie, but nudges it just enough that he gets Blaine.
Pissed me off so much. Why? I was so excited for a Kurt-Artie duet.
Well, okay, I was too, actually. That was my reaction. But then I was like, okay, I could go for this. But then, Caitlin, I think you and I were tweeting again, as we do on Friday nights, I've noticed. And you were kind of annoyed by this situation. I guess everyone else is, but I didn't have that same reaction. Do you want to speak about why it was annoying to you? Are you sick of playing duets? Is that what it is?
I'm just... besides that, yes. I mean, I'm sick of Kurt being manipulative, but I just do not understand him in this episode. I'll get it, like, especially later, the way he reacts to things. Oh, right. I do not understand you at all.
Yes. So. You and I, that's right. That's what it was. I was thinking it was this moment, but it was another moment. This is interesting because this is almost a direct sort of symbolism of how Kurt is sort of manipulating the Wheel of Fortune in some ways with Blaine. I mean, if we want to get really deep about it.
I just don't understand why they're bringing the new directions into Rachel's party. Like, there's a weird...
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
They're adults. Madison, it's so weird.
Madison being like, oh, so this lesson isn't for us then? It's like, no, of course it's not. I don't even know your names.
Were we meant to understand that they were not drinking alcoholic drinks this time?
Well, Artie goes and puts something extra in yours. I think that he was putting shots into the adults' drinks and not into the students' drinks.
Because it's only appropriate for students to, like, acquire their own alcohol, but if they're supplied by old students...
Teachers.
Right, then that's the line. There. That's the line that Glee's gonna make. All
it's
right.
Weird. That party, the kids, it's like, this is a weird power dynamic. It's very strange to
Let's skip
ahead
to the party
out of the
now.
Episode, I'm just gonna say that.
No, yeah, that's interesting. So let's just jump right to the party, because at Rachel's childhood home party, Mercedes and Roderick duet to All About That Bass, while Sam and Rachel basically make out in her bedroom. And I have one thing I just want to say about this song. First of all, I hate it. So maybe I have more than one thing. I really cannot stand this song.
Mercedes was singing it.
Mercedes singing it was great, but it's like you have...
Megan Trainor's a bitch, just saying. She's like a terrible
person. I don't like the song, but it was so much fun in this scene. It was so much fun, even though the song is painful.
I'm like, God, you have Mercedes and Roderick, two of the best voices on Glee, singing this terrible pop song. Like, oh, I was just... I felt bad for this.
I liked it because I would have liked to see them, like, doing, like, karaoke, like with a DVD or SingStar or something. But they had the freaking band in the corner. Like, I'm like, oh yeah, sing the current, you know, pop songs that you don't want to take seriously on radio, but like, do it with a freaking SingStar. Like, why can't you, like, do some sort... You can still do a, like, rockin' performance and, like, add some secret sounds in behind the scenes. You don't have to have the band there. Make it a tiny bit more realistic. It's like, yes, Rachel has her little stage, but like, yeah, do a karaoke machine. Come on.
While this is happening, Rachel and Sam are reminiscing about her sort of, you know, childhood in her room, and they start to kiss, but then Rachel gets this look on her face like, oh my God, I love that. And then she really goes in for it. I don't know how I feel about this, if I'm being 100% honest. You know, usually we have very... Yeah, Jack, I had a feeling you would hate it. I just feel like, for some reason, I don't know where to land with this. Because part of me is like... I don't know. Part of me just feels like it's wrong. Like, how could you do this to Finn? Not in, like, that kind of way. But and then, on the other hand, I'm kind of like, okay, well, Rachel does need to be with somebody. Sam's a good guy overall. I don't know. I'm just so, like... Also thinking, on another hand, I'm like, do they even need to be doing this? Sorry, what was that, Caitlin?
They never resolved the hypnotism thing, so I'm
still
going...
Yeah, does he only like her because he's hypnotized? Like,
is he still being hypnotized or what? I don't understand, so I don't know if I can like this or not.
I don't know. Mitch, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I liked Samchel. Before, in the oiling up photo shoot scene.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, and then it just took that weird dive from the hypnotism, so I can't ship it now, because I'm still in a weird limbo of why would you be going for her if you said you were still in love with Mercedes kind of thing. Because I get Mercedes saying that she's over Sam,
right?
But that wouldn't convince Sam at all, in my opinion, within his character, to completely ditch the idea of loving after Mercedes. He seems to be very persistent. I think that he would have tried a bit more.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, the whole hypnotism thing is No, I was just saying the hypnotism thing is a very good point, and it makes me even more misunderstood in terms of this situation.
I don't think he's, like, crazy hypnotized, but he definitely wasn't actually interested in Rachel properly until hypnotism. Yeah. And I don't know, like, And I don't know, I really like his speech to her, like, about, like, the, you know, when they talked about, like, her wall. I really loved what he said. But I don't really feel their chemistry romantically. And I don't know, there's such a lack of, like, it's so annoying to me that there's such a lack of male-female friendships where on this show where their sexuality isn't a barrier. Like, yes, Kurt and Rachel are best friends. Kurt and Rachel are best friends, but Kurt and Rachel know that they're never going to, like, bang each other, if you know what I mean. And a lot of the girls are friends with Artie, and which is whatever, but they really tend to desexualize him,
except
for the moments where he has a plot about his romance. So it's like, oh, yeah, Artie's, like, the safe friend. There's very few, I am, you know, a sexy man, and I am a sexy woman, and we could bang, but we are actually just friends, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Have that. And I don't understand why, because there's so many characters in this show.
Let's take it to Base 80's number one fan, Jack, for a little bit.
Yeah, go on, Jack.
Okay, my problem with this doesn't even come, like, from Sam Mercedes. It comes from the fact that Sam, like, Sam, when he was first introduced, was introduced as the sort of character very similar to Finn. Okay, and not that that's a bad thing and stuff. And what they do with Sam, as I mentioned last episode, is they manipulate his character and edit him around whatever love interest he's going to have for that particular moment. So he did it with Brittany, and he's doing it with Rachel now. I don't think that was with Mercedes, because I think that they were meant for each other. Blah, blah. But and what really worried me about this scene is that I never thought for a moment in Sam's other scenes that they were writing for Finn at... They were using what they would write for Finn and putting it in Sam, because they never did that with him. Even like when in season 5, when he took over the Glee Club, they never wrote for Finn in his mouth when they could have, and they did it with this scene. And that bothers me because
it did.
From a character level, Rachel may fall for Sam for the reasons why she fell for Finn, and that can lead to some really traumatic emotional experiences for her, you know.
Yeah, good point.
And again, what worries me as well is in this scene, there was this huge elephant in the room with Finn. Like, even in the close-ups with the photos, they didn't even show one photo. It's like they purposely tried to not even show Finn. And
well, that was my problem.
Never at one point in the show when handling with Finn and Corey's death have I ever been pissed off. I've always been very happy with it. It was always done very respectful, and I thought they would never do anything Leah wouldn't agree with. And for the first time in this scene, I felt like that wasn't the case, and it's made me a bit upset that I'm feeling that way. I don't know if it was or anything, but, you know.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but yeah, I had the same thoughts, especially because it's one thing if you don't mention Finn in that moment as they're staring up at the pictures, because it is a little bit more about Rachel and Sam in this moment and like the really special thing they have. And I think bringing up Finn in this moment from a cinematic perspective or, you know, cinematography perspective would have been a little bit awkward, because then it would have fans being like, wait a minute. Yeah. What about Finn? However, when you have a big party to say goodbye to your childhood home where you and Finn spent a lot of time getting to know each other, I was really kind of like, wait, why was there no mention of him whatsoever? And then, I don't know. It was just so weird to me to sort of just forget about that.
Especially in the montage of, like, not when it wasn't just Sam, when it was all the friends helping her, and sharing their memories from the photos. And, like, no one put a... And, you know, having those little bits of video,
past
episodes. And what, there's no photos in the whole album of Finn that they could have, like, used? Like, I don't know. Like, maybe there's something with Corey's estate or with Leah that they don't want, flashback footage of him used. There could be something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But,
We have to say, you know, dealing with the Finn/Corey situation is likely... You know, like walking on eggshells. I'm sure it's it's extremely sensitive, obviously, to Leah Michelle and even to the fans in and of themselves. But, you know, when you're doing a whole thing about reminiscing about a core plot point that involved Finn directly, you might want to just make sure you figure that whole situation out and make sure the fans get what they want in some way.
They've always handled Finn so well as well, and they've always done the character and Corey so well. Like, they never overstepped anything. It's been done perfectly. And it just bothers me with this scene that I genuinely felt they were writing for Finn through Sam, you know? Yeah. And then they didn't
gave
even...
him.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they're saving some of that reminiscing for later on in the series, because there actually hasn't been a whole lot of Finn so far, but I have a feeling they have something up their sleeve regarding honoring him.
Yeah, I hope it wouldn't be as lame as that one Robin Williams tribute that I think, like, I don't know, the MTV Music Awards did.
Yeah.
That was a pathetic slideshow. Yeah, it's what I always hope that never is done, a memorial of any person or character, in this case both. As long as Glee does a better job than that, I think I'd still be happy. Like, they don't have to go above and beyond. Just show, like, some basic clips. You know, like, even pilot stuff is okay. Just stick with one episode. If it's too hard for you to really go back and look, that's fine. I'll be happy with at least that.
Wait, Mitch, explain exactly what you were talking about with Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Jack, do you remember what award show it was?
It was like the VMAs or something. And what they did, basically, it honestly was very disrespectful, and looked like they had hired a 10-year-old to put together a power presentation of Robin Williams. You can Google the photos of Robin Williams, and they chose the first, like, 10 photos that came up, and then just put together with sad music on the background.
Yikes.
It was very embarrassing.
I remember tweeting about being disappointed in that, but I can't remember exactly what it was.
I was upset at it in the moment. But
this will be the moment where I actually have to jump off of the 100th episode, because I have yet another birthday party to go to. All of our friends.
Oh my god, you've got so many friends.
I know. Oh. Well, it was my birthday, and then we got a week off, and then it was another friend's birthday last week, and now I've got yet another one. We call it birthday season. I think I've probably mentioned it on the show before. But I do want to say, before we head into Kurt and Blaine, they sang Betty Who's Somebody Loves You as a duet at Rachel's party. This was my number one favorite song of 2014. I literally rank my favorite songs every year, and it was my number one. And I've always mentioned about how, like, the Kurt and Blaine relationship is constantly sort of, or I don't know, Glee in general is just constantly, like, mimicking my life. And let me just tell you, I won't go into the details, but I was in a kind of similar situation with Kurt and Blaine, as that Kurt and Blaine are in right now in 2014. And this song always sort of, like, brought me out of those moments. So it's absolutely crazy that they perform this song, and it's like the millionth reason why I feel like Glee's secretly stalking my life and turning it into a television show. That being said, I'm signing off, and I think, Natalie, you're going to take over for the rest of the show.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you have any big opinions on any of the things that happened for the rest of the episode that you wanted to say very quickly?
The biggest opinion is that Spencer dancing at Rachel's party was too much for me to handle. I don't care how old this person is on the show, because in real life, I think he's an adult. Hopefully he is, because I had a lot of, like, very intense attraction feelings towards Spencer. And I actually tweeted to the actor Marshall.
Well, in his, like, tutu and cowboy hat.
Yeah. I was like, you know, this is a lot to handle tonight on Glee, but he didn't respond.
You did have Glee and Fox respond to you.
Oh, I did. I forgot about that.
Was that because you knew someone from Oxygen or something that led to that? Or, like, what happened?
No, I had actually tweeted Dot Marie Jones, and I said, I hope you win an Emmy for this. I absolutely love Sheldon. Congratulations. Blah, blah, blah. And then Fox, or Glee's official Twitter account wrote back, we love him too, or something. And I was like, oh, okay.
The fan response,
so
you were like, yes, we cannot wait to talk about it on wink wink Glee Chat.
Yeah, I was like, if you want to check us out, if you need any extras, let us know, blah blah blah. So that's what I just wanted to say quickly about Betty Who. And then one other thing is, I'm not okay with the way Dave handled that situation with Blaine. It felt way too passive, and maybe I'll bring it up on another episode. Also, one last thing,
yeah, we'll talk about that.
It was weird. Yeah.
So weird.
I can't wait
to
dive into that, guys. That's probably, like, my number one thing that I'm excited to talk about in this episode still yet.
I'm going to come back and listen to the end of the episode whenever it pops up on my podcast app. And the last thing is, I Know Where I've Been is one of my favorite songs ever from a musical, and to see Unique perform it in terms of transgender awareness was absolutely incredible.
And she sounded amazing.
And she sounded unbelievable. And that last the cinematography on Glee is ridiculous. When she's standing there and she sings the very last note that is actually in a whole other octave than the note is meant to be sung on Hairspray, and the camera pans out and you see the entire choir, chills up and down my entire body. I thought it was amazing. Yeah.
It reminded me of like a prayer in that moment, like that exact shot.
So anyway, that's it for me, guys. Sorry, I have to jump off. Natalie will take over from here. And just one last note is thanks, everybody, for listening to us for 100 freaking episodes. It just feels so weird knowing that we've spent this much time and have connected with so many people that love to listen to the show. So it means a lot from me. So that's it. All right, Natalie, it's all yours.
All right, bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye, bye, John.
Bye.
Okay, so we're still at the party.
Gone. No, I'm kidding.
Oh my god.
Did you wait till he was off the call to officially say that, Jack?
Okay, so we are still at the childhood home party, which is whatever. So we've got, Sam and Rachel, I don't know, just before we move on from that to the gross claim, Caitlin, how are you feeling about Sam and Rachel at the moment?
I'm just, without knowing what's going on with the hypnotism thing, I can't get my head around it. So I'm just like, I want to be okay with it, but they haven't resolved that, so I feel kind of icky being okay with it. So I'm trying to back off.
I'm still holding out for Jesse. It's like, I'm really still, like, you know, the little hints that he might be filming the last episode is like...
Sam and Rachel are like end of the series forever couple, but I think they're cute in the moment.
Yeah, they're like, oh, this is a thing that we did and it was fine. I'm just stressed, like really stressed, that if Jesse comes back in the last episode, it will be as an antagonist. That it'll be like, that it won't be like, oh,
he's the new, oh god, he's the new vocal adrenaline coach. He has to be.
No, I want it to him be them bumping into each other in a coffee shop, like him,
Natalie,
here, welcome to the rest of your life.
Ever since you said that a few episodes back, that's honestly, it feels like I have read like a spoiler that that's going to happen, because honestly, all I think is going to happen in like one of the very last scenes of the last episode is going to be like a few months in the future, Rachel's gotten that Broadway job, and then she runs into Jesse in a coffee shop. And yeah, I honestly feel like I've read the script.
Like,
that's
it,
seems
hello,
so fitting.
Welcome to your future. This is it. Like it, and something I don't want him to come
like,
back.
Okay.
Anyway,
there's an important moment that happened. I think on. There was an important moment that happened on the Glee chat. The Glee social media for all their Valentine's Day stuff. And they sent out a couple ships, and one of them was Quinn and Puck. Another one was Sam and Mercedes, and I was like a picture of them. So I was like, but they just set up like Sam and Rachel in this one episode. So I guess we're meant to assume that that was a one episode thing, and the next episode they're going to not care about each other. I don't know.
Caitlin, do you still think that they're going to end up together? Because last episode, I was very content and okay with the way they handled
Sam
them
Mercedes,
last episode.
You mean?
Yeah, Caitlin, do you think that Sam and Mercedes are going to end up together? Because you said that you think, because the show glorifies high school relationships, do you think it's going to happen still, or...?
I have no reason to think they're not going to at this point.
Okay. Other than Rachel, but not because...
I just don't see Sam and Rachel as the long-term thing. So no. I think that's going to be, like...
No, I think he's
small
too
bit.
Much. Yeah, I think...
Too much,
I don't know.
Like Finn.
But they're spending so much time on it. Anyway, let's move on from that to an even worse relationship.
Can we?
Okay.
Yeah.
So, at the party, Blaine and Kurt sing their duet together while everyone has fun, and I love a lot of the new kids, especially the twins. And
oh my god, don't get me started. I love them so much.
I saw us. Can I say a spoiler that is, like, a released episode synopsis spoiler, if you know what I mean? No?
Let's just give fast forward 30 seconds if you don't want to hear the spoiler. You could probably...
Well, no, Jack doesn't want to hear it.
I don't want to hear it. It's
a plot that it involves the twins, and I am both interested and nervous for it. So.
Oh, okay. Well, if you're interested and nervous for it, it can't possibly be Roses in the Attic. It has to be a little bit less intense than that.
Oh, I'm not uncertain, Mitch.
Still? Oh, give me this much. About. Does this synopsis seem to confirm Roses in the Attic or push it forward towards that a little bit more?
Okay, I'll put my headphones down. I'll put my headphones down and then I'll come back in 30 seconds, all right?
There is an officially released spoiler, officially released synopsis for an episode, I think it's like episode 11, where it's like, you know, Mason is annoyed at Madison for getting in the way of, like, his flirting with Jane, because he likes Jane. We talked earlier about how they had very good chemistry in that song they did together. And, you know, and he kind of pushes about the situation with unexpected results. So my unexpected result is that Madison is in love with her brother. Just saying. So, I don't know. Caitlin, is that what you thought I was talking about?
That was what I thought you were talking about.
Yeah, okay, cool. Just so everyone knows. So I'm not uncertain that that's going to be a plot that's going to happen, but...
I'm pretty solid that it's going to happen. I really do think now that that's the thing.
So we're going to have, like, a very special incest episode.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. All right, this is exactly what I always wanted from Glee. let's move on from that. So Clay and sing the song together and, you know, whatever, it's not super romantic. I mean, they don't really sing it to each other, but, you know, they give some looks and then they go outside and Blaine is like, gotta go home. And then for reasons, he kisses Kurt. I can't even remember. I tried to black it out. What did Kurt do that made him like decide, oh, I've got to do this? Caitlin, what actually happened?
They were reminiscing about when they were Jeremiah. So much in love.
Oh, baby, it's cold outside. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
And he breaks up Jeremiah.
Like, that's right. And it was like, yeah, and it was like, oh, you know, someone that could mean so much, like, just, like, you forget about them. I suppose, yeah, that's all true and stuff. And then Blaine's like, oh, gonna kiss him. And then, you know, Kurt's like, okay, I guess that happened.
I don't understand.
Blaine is probably still drunk from the elevator.
Anything about it because yeah. So Dave and Blaine, you know, they have the football game that they do. You know, whatever, they go out and they come home groceries. And Blaine's been off in like a daze since it happened, and he kind of tells Kurovsky without very little words, you know, what has happened. And Kurovsky's like, oh, okay. Guess you can just go off and be with him then, and it's all very awkward. Well, it's true. It's just like oh.
You had such authenticity to the scene in your voice there, because it really was just as simple as that. He was like, oh, yeah, all right, yeah, have fun.
Like, it wasn't just
catch,
like,
you later.
Was chill, whatever. Like, he's clearly bummed, but it's just like,
they live with each other. They live with each other, and they don't. So, like,
was that, like, just convenience? Because like, neither of them wanted to live with their parents, and it's just like, yeah, we can just be, like, roommates who are also dating. It wasn't like, oh, we're so committed to each other. Like, thing is, Blaine, like, he did keep trying to make the effort to be committed to Kurovsky, and then Kurt clearly didn't think that much of the kiss later in the episode, because he was still going on
a date. This is what I don't understand.
Like, what? Didn't Kurt initiate it?
Yes, he manipulates the entire situation to get the outcome that he gets, and then he's like, oh, I don't know what's going on.
Why? What's the purpose?
Away with Walter. Like, what are you I don't understand you. I don't understand.
Do you guys think Kurt and Walter have had sex?
Ew, I hope not.
I'd assume as much by Glee's standards for how long relationships exist before that happens, because we're meant to understand that, you know, Beast's full transition has happened. Once again, timeline. I feel like 3 months might have passed. Maybe, kind of, sort of. So 3 months seems like a time that Glee would be like, you know,
Kurt
pretty
and Walter
on it.
Full on, like, together, like, any.
Because didn't Blaine and Kurovsky move in, like, very early on, too? And I know that you're talking about Kimmy and roommates and the like, but still, I think that might have been, like, you know, 5 or 6 months into their relationship, so I wouldn't put sex past 3 months.
If Kurt and Walter have been going out for that long, what Kurt has been doing with Blaine is, like, even more gross.
No, he's a manipulating little bitch right now for no reason.
And I know that John's objection was, like, he was like, but Blaine kissed him and stuff, but I know Jack, like, you sort of had some thoughts about that as well, and you're sitting over there groaning. So, yeah, basically, I also want to talk about what we think about, like, Kurovsky, because it was, like, probably, you know, the most intimate scene between Blaine and Kurovsky that we saw, like, the most serious one. And it just... And, like, Kurovsky can read him so well. Like, and that's what... It's like, this guy really knows you. And like, I'm not saying that you have to, like, stick with him and stuff because it's weird freaking ship. But, like...
They're weirdly good together. Like,
well, I appreciate it.
Like, I never would have thought, but...
I was actually going into it looking like I wanted it, Caitlin, and that's probably where I still fit, that I'm sad that it's over because I wanted Blaine to just date someone new, just to, like, see him in a new vibe, or not even date anyone at all, which could be a cool ending, too, if that's what they need to do with Blaine. I'd be happy with that. But sorry, Natalie, I was interrupting you. You said something.
No, so Caitlin, how did you, like, respond to, I guess, Kurovsky's response in this?
Well, I mean, to me, it's the show speaking through Kurovsky, being like, oh, well, of course you were going to find you loved him again, because you are soulmates and you're perfect together, and of course you love him, because that's what the show thinks about this relationship. My issue, of course, is that this is the first time, like, we've seen Blaine on his own in, like, 6 episodes, and it all has to be related to Kurt. We never see Blaine this season without anything to do with Kurt. I think season 4 was a dream when he got to be his own person, because he's no longer his own person anymore.
It was all part of his puppet dream, yes.
Ugh.
It still continues.
Everything about Blaine this season is about Kurt, and it's driving me up the wall.
Yeah, Kurovsky's response was very much like, oh, I represent the universe in which Klein is the one true way to happiness. And it's like, fuck off, sorry. But, like...
I was so pissed off too, Natalie. I was cursing a lot at my TV when this happened.
The thing is, I, right from season 2, have been like, right from the very end of season 2, I've been like, feel like that dynamic's actually a bit off. Feel like this isn't actually as good as everyone hoped it was going to be. Feel like this isn't really super legit. And then season 3 started and they had their ups and downs, but I was still like, why did he transfer? That's really freaking fucked up. And then all of these other issues... They've, like, never been consistently healthy and happy. They're just, like, desperate and weird. And it went from me being this, like, evil person who was a Klein naysayer when, like, 99% of people were, like, still loving Klein, to, like, I do not know a single person who still thinks it is good. I don't understand why the show thinks it's good. Does anyone actually know anyone that thinks it's good? Like,
I know,
like,
lots of people.
I only know the really? One listener that we have. I wouldn't call him out, but he wrote in a couple episodes ago, like, respectfully, remember that? He was like, you know what? Yeah. I respect the way you guys are presenting it. I can see where you're coming from. I still ship them. And I wanted to be like, why? But I was like, you were polite. I'll be polite back.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'm curious just about, like, I don't know. I've just seen the shift.
It could just be that I go down with the ship business, where people just don't care that the ship makes sense or anything.
They shipped it once, so they're sticking with it. Like, but
right,
I know,
it's kind of out of habit.
And yeah, that annoys me with people, because I'm not like that. I'm fine with the way Sam and Mercedes ended, you know, and I can accept the fact that it's not going to happen, but they did it well. But what pisses me off about the Blaine thing is that with Blaine at the start of season 6, I came on the podcast, said I am a big Blaine fan now, I love him, he's not got nothing to do with Kurt. Ooh, at that point it seemed like he was over Kurt, he was happy with himself, he moved on, he was in a very happy place, so I was in a happy place, everything was fine, and then he does this, and now I fucking hate him again. I'm sorry, Caitlin. We can hate each other again as well.
I'm really unhappy about this too, Jack. So I mean,
oh, I thought we were back to that old rivalry. I got excited.
Doing so well.
I'm really doing so well,
going back to his roots, and yeah.
Well, see, here's the thing. Like, this season has we going into it. It was very much like, well, Kurt broke up with him, so it's going to be Kurt's job to finally go after Blaine and, like, show Blaine how loved he is, and it's going to be kind of good to see Kurt finally
at the beginning.
And has that happened? Well, he's like, I'm going to get you back. And then Blaine's like, I'm dating someone. And Kurt's like, oh, well, guess I give up. And then that was it. And now
Blaine's the one running and crying.
Yes. And because he is making Kurt wait, he is getting punished by all this isolation again. Because he is making Kurt wait on him. He has not had a solo this season, Blaine. And we all know that Blaine sings all the time. Blaine communicates his feelings by song. We know how he's feeling by all his singing. He has not sung like at all this season. So he has been completely isolated. He doesn't. Has he and Sam even spoken this season?
Rarely. It's like no, the piano lesson.
Not in a one-on-one conversation.
He's been isolated from. We never see him at Dalton, even though we know he's there. He didn't get to see his kids perform at the Invitational. He's not clearly talking to his friends very much because his best friend is barely talking to him. He's not singing for himself at all, so he's not having any outlet for his emotions. And he's just being thrown back into being part of Clayne. He's going back to be Kurt's trophy.
Yeah, like what,
Caitlin sounds like she's character, gonna cry.
I'm so what upset character about
development
it.
Have we had? We have not had any character development from the point, from when he was happy with Dave to now. You know, it's just suddenly there's just a click and he's done. You know, like
yeah. are we going to forget about Dave? Like.
Are we going to forget about the moment when Kurt, the way Kurt broke up with him? Are we meant to forget about that? The way Blaine said, "I'll never forgive you." You know, the way Kurt did it is horrible. Are we meant to forget about that?
He fired you from the relationship, Blaine. Like, oh,
you said you would never forgive him. Like,
and the way he said it, the way it was portrayed was just like he was utterly heartbroken and he was in hell, and that's why I love Blaine, because then he built himself back up and was in a really good place, and now he's put himself back in hell again and it's his own fault, you know?
Perhaps we're just aiming our efforts the wrong way. I think we need to fire all missiles in the direction of Sue, because she was the one that started this. She had a 2-episode arc.
Sue as fandom. That's the thing.
Right, I know.
Sue as fandom. So the fact that Sue is the one who has been causing all of this means that they're giving fandom what it wants, or that very specific segment of fandom. And this is why I didn't like the meta, because this is the exact thing I didn't want to happen.
I know.
And it's hard for me to try and pretend the Hurt Locker Part 1 never happened when its ramifications keep happening.
But the ramifications of Natalie's literally crying
sucks
over this.
So badly.
It's funny because it's like the ramifications
so
only,
much, you guys.
Only certain episodes are going to matter right now in this season. It only matters if the Hurt Locker Part 1 happened, but it doesn't matter that the first episode of this season happened anymore. That breakup didn't happen anymore. It's trumped by the most recent continuity, I think. It's just so silly. I don't know. Mm.
I hate Kurt so much. I hate him so much right now.
I really do hate Kurt too, because Caitlin brought up a good point that, like, he's manipulating this for no reason. Especially from when he was just like, "Hey, I'm with Walter. Did you want something?" And it's like,
and
yes.
Totally not like, he's not, number one, not really reading Blaine that well. Like, reading him less well than Kurovsky read him, can I just say? Like, from not saying anything. He's just like, "Oh yeah, just going out." Like, he's not like, "Hey, like, remember that, like, time when we kissed last night and now we might get back together?" Like, you know, he was totally, like, chill. Like, he was like, "Oh, yeah, hey, friend, whatever.
Let me bring your two other closest hey, friends buddy. With me and leave you very upset by yourself with nobody to talk to."
Yeah. Cool. This is good. This is fine. Okay.
This is very
deal with it.
Yeah.
And I hate it so much, and I'm just so... All I can hope and pray for now is that by the very last episode, they have gone through their getting back together and realized once and for all that it's shit, and that they end peacefully, not angrily, in the last episode. Please.
I don't know, but
for the love of God, please. Like, I just...
Based on a spoiler we discussed last week, I don't know.
Well, Jack!
I don't care. I know, Jack, but I still don't care. They can split up from that. Like, I don't care. Like, they need...
Yeah.
It's not even that, though, because we do have a preview for the next episode, and it just... without jumping into spoilers that we did in the last episode of Glee Chat, in the preview, a lot of characters just seem to, like... I don't know, have that thing that Caitlin was talking about in fanfic, that magic sex powder pouring on them during this wedding, where everyone seemed to want to get married at, like, the same moment.
Oh, sex pollen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sex pollen is definitely going to be rampant at the Britannia wedding, because, like, everyone, like, there was a Sue and a Beast moment in there, so it's going to be fucking insane next week. Shit's going to blow up.
I will back Tina with any, with her, because it says this in the promo.
What, the Tina and Mike
thing? Tina and Mike in the promo,
I will
yeah.
back Tina proposing to Mike more than I back what the fuck's happening with Kurt and Blaine.
I know. When was the last time that Tina was even, like, in a scene with Mike?
Season
Years
3.
Ago.
Was it, like, when he was helping her dance or some shit? Like,
the last, when he the came last back thing... for Greece.
Yeah, oh my god.
The last closure we got was then in the beginning of season 4.
That's a joke! Are you kidding me? They're really
like,
gonna...
Really?
Oh. This is a... Like,
I haven't seen
so
you in years! Go away! Like, get over yourself, Tina.
For a way, Mike's dead.
Oh, God.
Huh?
For a way, Mike's dead. I haven't seen him at all.
They haven't even talked about him. This whole season. And now he's getting get married to a character who's kind of been on... I don't understand.
Well, they might not get married. Tina's just gonna propose. And then everyone's probably gonna kick her to the ground like she always is.
I don't know. Since we're on like that promo, and this doesn't really relate to like what happens in this episode, I think it's probably best to clean up that bit of conversation.
Regardless of what happens in the next episode, Kurt and Blaine can still break up. The divorce
they
rate's
can.
Really high, like in the world. Like, just saying.
Well,
like,
what I wanted to reference was that's a really good point, Natalie. But did anyone else get the Beast and Sue vibe from this episode when Sue was like, we're very accepting here and et cetera, et cetera. Then into the promo where they showed them kind of like dancing together. I feel like
we might... Sue and Beast are endgame.
I think we might get Sue and Beast.
No. Because right in that great scene when they were, you know, talking about Beast wanting to transition, Shannon at the time was like, you know, I've always been attracted to men, and they tell, like, they think that's not going to change. And Sam's like, so you want to, like, turn into a gay man? Like, he's, he's not attracted to women, like, just because he's a man now.
Oh, okay.
Like, and I really hope they don't flip-flop on that.
Yeah,
that would be a really irresponsible, thing to do. So I'm
hoping that they don't, but I really have a strong inclination that that's their sex pollen in that episode, and that's really going to be it.
I think Sue is going to end the series in prison.
That'd be cool.
Because
if
she doesn't,
funny.
It would be very upsetting.
Yeah. Did you guys, Caitlin, did you talk about last week at all, the spoiler about the Warblers?
No, that hadn't come out yet.
Yeah.
Does everyone know about that?
Let's save that for the end of the episode again after the credits, because that's pretty big. I think, we'll do another one of those.
Oh my god, I'm so... Anyway, let's move on.
I cackled when I first read that.
Let's move on to a bit more about Will's terrible plot, which was basically, originally, he kicked the douchebag out of Vocal Adrenaline for, you know, being horrible and stuff. And he kind of tells Emma that he hates his job, and he has this big man pain plot about how he likes having expensive things. It's just like, I fucking hate you
so
much.
He's the worst.
Was that meant to be genuine? Were we meant to care about his freaking feelings because he liked having a fancy car? It's like, get over yourself. Can't believe Emma didn't leave him. Like, I was just like, And anyway, she has to inspire him to, like, not care about money and stuff. And... he ends up sort of manipulating Vocal Adrenaline into, you know, sneaking into McKinley. Like, they think that he's now on their side and they're going to do some, like, pranks and stuff. And it's actually another, like, lesson about tolerance where Unique and a whole transgender choir sing I Know Where I've Been from Hairspray in order to teach both. It's both a message for Beast because she had the scene... Unique and Beast had the scene together talking about, like, the transitioning process, and that was really cute as well, like, you know,
so
Unique asking about, like, you know, surgery recovery and all of that kind of stuff, and Beast, like, saying, you know, wish that he didn't have to do that alone. And so this, you know, scene at the end, Jack, I suppose you might want to take a few moments here to talk about Beast and Unique scene, like, because Unique didn't have that much, like, she was just kind of brought on to sing and then, like, shoved off again a couple of times, but she did get this one scene with an actual plot. So how was that for you?
Well, I appreciate that they even did this, because there could have been, like, every single chance I'd be coming on this podcast today and being like, why didn't they bring back Unique? You know, it could have been so easy, and the fact they did it is really, really special, because as you've written in an article on Hyperball, Natalie, like, why didn't they tackle this sort of beast plot line with Unique back in season 4 and 5, you know? But regardless, even though they didn't do it then, which would have been nice, I'm happy that they are doing a plot like this now, and they don't ignore a character who was very clearly stated, eventually stated to be transgender, back into the show. And it was really good, even though I really would have appreciated maybe just one scene of maybe in the scene with Beast and Unique, just Beast asking Unique, you know, how are you going? Are you considering going through the processes of transitioning to be a woman as well? And something like that, because Unique was very curious and said, you know, did it hurt when you did your surgery? So we know that she maybe has not started treatments yet, or I don't know what her deal is, but I would have liked to have clarified, have that be clarified, because I don't know too much about the transitioning process and stuff, but I think Unique is probably at the age where it would be most appropriate for her to start going through those changes.
I mean, it was interesting. They were quite blunt about, you know, at least Beast surgery, like talking about, like, you know, the mental process of getting her breasts removed, like to become the physical transition into a man. Which they were very kind of honest about it, which was good in a way, I guess. But I don't know. Yeah, like Mitch and Caitlin, did you guys have like much thought about like the way that they're handling the, you know, the transition process and just basically the discussion of it, I guess.
Other than timeline, because that's a very, it's not just the Glee timeline, it's the timeline that this surgery and that the hormones and the transition in general would have.
Yeah, like facial, enough hormones to like get natural facial hair is a little while.
Right, and I'm not sure if we're meant to understand if there's supposed to be like any difference in Beast's face, as in, you know, has more prominent brow or, you know, sharper jawline or something. I don't know, something to make Beast's face look, represent that more of a man than a woman. Because I know that there was, when Dot Mary Jones first got into, like, the makeup room to get this all done, she kept on tweeting out, "I'm so impressed. No one could see, you know, how I've changed. They didn't recognize me at first because I looked so much like my character wanted to be as a man." And I don't know, were we meant to like see a more masculine feature to Beast's face, or was it just like the facial hair? Like, what was that?
I don't know. I agree. Like, I think that your face, your bone structure doesn't change. It's like the way that you'd carry weight and muscle, and it does change people's faces. But no, I definitely thought that it looked like Dot Marie Jones with facial hair and a different hairstyle. Like, yeah. I did not see that much difference in the face, but I don't know.
Because I'm thinking in terms of like how makeup would have worked for that. I remember I was once playing in like my college theater, a really feminine man, but he was still a man. That to highlight, like, you know, my brow, to make it like a higher one, my cheekbones, etc., to, you know, make my own masculine features turn more feminine. I think that's what I saw them doing, but it just seemed like they just put a lot of rouge on Beast's cheeks, and I was confused because I was like, that's not very blended in. That's just a bunch of dark makeup just tossed on there with a powder cake, and then you're done. I don't know. It didn't seem like they were committing either way. It was just weird. I don't understand.
I don't know. Do you, Caitlin, how about you? Like, how did you feel about, like, the physical transition, I guess, like, and what was said about it, like, especially with Unique, involved as well?
My favorite thing is, like, that they're kind of the generational gap and how they're very much like two different generations, but they're having this very equal conversation, very intimate conversation about this because it's something that they share and many people can't understand. So even though Sheldon is so much older than Unique, you know, they're very much equals in that way. So it was really nice to see that generational gap being bridged. That was my favorite thing to see.
Yeah. I like the continuity because it looked like they had stayed in contact, you know. Because as far as I can remember, we've never even had a scene with Unique and Beast before. But I really like the idea that.
Yeah, they knew each other better than I expected.
Yeah. Unique comes in like, "Hey, how you doing, best friend?" And we're like, "What?"
Yeah.
I just like the idea that Beast reached out to Unique because she knows at least one other person from the school who was in a similar position to she was. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that was a big part of bringing back to Will's ridiculous plan. A big part of what they were doing there was, you know, it was 50% like trying to teach vocal adrenaline a lesson and 50% showing Beast that he's not alone, because that was a big part of the conversation. Like, oh, I wish I didn't have to go through all this alone. Like, basically not really knowing anything about the community. So they found, like, you know, this transgender choir, which I'm sure is a real choir in Los Angeles. I really doubt there's a transgender choir that large in Lima, Ohio. Mm-hmm. But
no, they reached out searching for a bunch of people. Like, they got a heaps of people from various show choirs and brought them all to one point. It's not like it was just one big show choir.
Well, it's in that scene.
Yeah, no, like, Will says that they went around, like, around the area, so it must have been, like, the extended area, and got a whole bunch of transgender people from various show choirs or something, and brought them all to one point. It wasn't just, like, they had one huge show choir of transgender people, all in, like, one school.
I don't know, but, as I said, they brought the choir together to the school, you know, with all of those people to show Beast that, you know, he's not alone and that he could, you know, have this community and be a part of it and stuff like that.
Oh,
and
but I'm Natalie, really sure how awesome would have... I'm sorry, no, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, go on.
How awesome would it have been to put No One Is Alone Here as opposed to in the bowling episode? I think that would have been really cool. I really, really would have appreciated that because I think it would have fit better in context. And I was thinking of it. I was like, okay. So not knowing that the episode songs, as you usually don't, I was like, here comes No One Is Alone. Oh, wait.
I didn't like that episode.
But Unique would have sounded so much better, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That episode incredible. Where they did that No One Is Alone, I did not like.
No, and I've compared it even to, like, the most recent movie adaptation in Into the Woods, and I still prefer that more than the Glee version. I don't think that they did it justice, oddly, just like with the harmonies they chose and the instrumentation. I don't know, it didn't fit that moment too well. I don't think it could have fit better here, but you know, I guess they were
anyway,
that big of a forefront.
So I don't know what the lesson they were trying to teach vocal adrenaline was, except that Will wanted to quit really dramatically. Like, I thought that they were gonna get vocal adrenaline because Beast was there to like force them to make a formal apology or something like that, if you know what I mean. But no, apparently Will just wanted to, like, quit really dramatically in front of them. But,
I love Sue being on their side. Saying,
oh my god, saying she would release Sue the hounds. Talking to vocal adrenaline was, like, one of my favourite things. And Sue during this episode, like, you know, the way that she talked to Beast and Will, I really liked. But I don't know, Will's attitude this episode, like, his entire plot from, like, oh, I'm trying to make these kids listen to me, and I don't really, I really want this job to work because I like having fancy football tickets and stuff. Like, I don't know, it's just, like, his pain about, like, not liking it. They could have made him have, like, a genuine problem, you know, genuine problem with not being respected, or a genuine problem with being worried about the kids that he had and, like, how they, you know, got such a crazy attitude. But his worry is that, like, oh, what I'm doing is not working and I don't want to leave because I like my money. It's like,
Well, Emma has a really good moment, too. And, yes, Emma was a thing. She was back in this episode. She wasn't a stand-in, everyone. This is her first.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Right. She has a good point when she was like, regardless of being a parent, you still have to make decisions in your job that aren't just for money, but are for lifestyle quality. And a child will notice a difference between, I can't remember the exact quote, but I'll paraphrase it by saying, like, you are uncomfortable in your job for money, for their security, but they won't enjoy that as much.
Didn't Will already learn this lesson in season one with Terry and when he wanted to be an accountant? Like, why are we rehashing the same lesson?
I know.
He forgot because he's awful. Anyway, he eventually quits, so what is he going to do now except apparently assist New Directions for free? Like,
we were so good without him.
Ugh.
Like, we weren't good without him. Because Rachel and Kurt were doing a horrible job, as was. They didn't know the people at all in their group.
No. Kurt was doing a horrible job. Rachel was doing fine.
I liked Rachel's theme of, like, performance. I would have liked to see Glee Club do some, like, Marilyn Manson because he comes from Ohio. Like, I thought that was a great, yeah, like lesson plan. It was, like, totally cheesy, but that's right.
But are we actually going to get to know the 3.0s this time around? Is this, like, Will's...
No.
That's Will's purpose, like, to allow us to... I mean, there's going to be some twin stuff coming up, so that gives me hope.
Oh, my God. I can't... Like, the little chat at the end where it was just like, oh, so what's your lesson... Yeah, Caitlin, take it away, please.
Will's, like, giving advice, and he's like, oh, get to know your kids, because you could be great friends. I was like, get to know them like you did the new directions? What are you talking about, you hypocrite?
Yeah, it's like, oh, have any of them got any personal problems?
I love you, Caitlin.
Let's listen about that. Like, oh, my God.
I hate you, Will.
Oh, he sucks. He sucks so badly, and I can't live with it. I hope he's not around much.
He's assisting.
Well, he's going to be around now, I think. Like,
unfortunately.
Hope not.
And it's funny, too, because back to Leah in comedy and being more, like, off the cuff, where she was like, yes, I did just make up that line, how'd you know? It was very, like, natural. I really appreciated her in that type of Rachel.
Mm.
That was cute. I like that. So I'm hoping we see more of that in her future endeavors, because she just cracked me up when she's, like, looser, not as, like, uptight and stringent as Rachel is.
Can I just take a moment to give a little shout-out to something Matthew Morrison has done, which is much better than this, if in any case anyone is interested. I recently watched a movie that is... I do not think it had the very big cinema release. It was only on... It's out on DVD already without a cinema release, so you might be able to get it online. It's called Playing It Cool, and it features my good friend and yours, Chris Evans, in a fantastic, like, hilarious, like, kind of slightly rude... like, slightly offbeat rom-com type movie. It's really weird, really funny, and really, really clever, and it's amazing. I love Chris Evans doing ridiculous, like, roles where he's just this, like frat boy idiot, because that is actually, like, his actual personality. But anyway, the point is, Matthew Morrison is in this movie, and so is Ashley Tisdale playing themselves, because...
Oh, shut up.
No, he's a screenwriter. The character is a screenwriter who is playing, who's meant to be writing. He wants to write an action movie, but he's like kind of being forced into writing this rom-com about these, you know, these people. And the people who are, he's writing about the actors. He's like, you know, it's going to be starring Matthew Morrison from Glee and Ashley Tisdale from High School Musical. And there's like a couple of scenes where he like is daydreaming because he's like having trouble writing his movie, and they like come and like threaten him with a gun and like do like scenes from the movie he's writing. It's like super funny, super amazing. So if you like Matthew Morrison but you hate Will Schuster, go track down Playing It Cool. It also has Aubrey Plaza from Parks and Rec. It has Topher Grace.
God, I love her.
It's such a good movie. It's freaking weird, but it's so good. And if you like Matthew Morrison, he is doing something better with his time than playing Will Schuster. Sadly, it's only a very short part, but there you go. I just wanted to plug that because I was thinking about how much I hate Will Schuster, basically. So, yeah. Does anyone else have any sort of major thoughts or questions about, like, you know, moments that happened in this episode, you know, character stuff, or just, like, the results that we have to work with now, whether it's, like, Klain, whether it's, you know, Will, Rachel, you know, the newbies, etc., like, anything that, you know, you are worried about moving forward or looking forward to moving forward?
I'm hoping Spencer gets more, now that I actually know his name.
He does! Well, I know, a spoiler. He does, and I'm excited for it.
Oh, yeah. He gets more? Okay, well, we can talk about that also in the spoiler chat, because I'm curious personally to what happens. But I liked when he was in his tutu a lot. A lot.
He was fighting Kitty for it first.
Yes.
He's cute as fuck, great. I'm not gonna lie.
He's becoming more and more adorable as he becomes more open and, like, in his skin, like, you know, like, I wouldn't want to just say, like, you know, he's being, like, fruity or whatever, but he's not being afraid of acting in a gay manner or whatever, and I find him to be a lot more enjoyable, just, like, smiling his serial killer smile in the fucking Glee Club.
I just wish we got more character development from him, like, why, so we have a reason as to why he's going through the change, because it was really, it was really nice when Sam, Spencer, and Beast were having a conversation, and Spencer says to Beast that he's one, so Sheldon is one of them, like, in the LGBT community. you know, and then that's Beast goes, that's all I ever wanted, and that was really nice. That's not what I
thought he meant. I thought he meant that he was, like, one of us is in the team rather than just someone, like, you, like, as in the football team, like, or as in sort of the community they've grown together, not really the LGBT
But I thought it could have gone either way, Natalie, because I had both thoughts. I think it did
work for both, but I was like, oh, is that what he means? But then I thought that he meant, that he was actually being a team player as opposed to, like, someone trying to, you know, go out for himself and become impressive. But regardless, I still don't quite understand why Spencer had the kind of the 180 turnaround about, of course I like Glee, I've just been, you know, being a douchebag about it. Because I was interested in someone who genuinely didn't think it was cool, if you know what I mean, and, you know, had their mind changed in whatever way. But now that he's, like, you know, apparently accepted that he loves Glee Club, he's super cute, and, yeah, it's really nice. So, yeah. No, Caitlin, anything from you, biggest concerns moving forward?
Should be obvious. I really like Time After Time, though, in that episode.
Oh, my God, that's right. I wanted to say something about Time After Time, because Sam and Rachel sing that together.
Me too.
I have a list in my phone that I was working on, like, whenever I think of a song, I put it on it, and it's for an eventual potential Hyperbole article about, like, big songs that Glee never covered and should have. And Time After Time is on that list, so I'm going to have to take it off the list because now they have done it. But, yeah, I was always surprised that they'd never done Time After Time.
And I expect this song is incredible. Like, the original is so good. And I wanted to love this scene so much, but I couldn't because Sam and Rachel. But just for the record, Parks and Rec did it better with Donna and April and Anne. And Sayosin do a better cover. Look it up.
Actually, you know what? I expected Clayne to sing the song with the way the music queued up, still on their scene. And I was like, are we going to have two duets from Clayne in one episode? It seemed like
that would have been rough.
It would have been very rough, but, like, right in a row, too. Yeah, I don't know. And it's sad, too, because didn't we have a duet that they skipped in the basement? It was Artie and whoever.
I don't know if we ever saw
Artie and Spencer.
Artie and Spencer had a duet. We didn't get to see it. I was really interested. Yeah, because they
came back, like, right when they finished.
And there were, I bet you that you could probably go through with, like, you know, some kind of order and find out who was left over to who was paired up for the rest of the other ones. Like,
what song do you guys think Artie and Spencer sung together?
Because they were together on the stage and we came back to the scene.
What song do you think that they would have sung together, though?
Is it horrible that my mind just keeps on defaulting to Don't You Want Me, Baby? It's that basement.
I wish.
I don't know. I couldn't even try and guess.
All About That Bass, they could have pulled so many better, like, pop songs to sing in that scene. All About That Bass.
They needed to get All About That Bass kicked out of there because it's just like the Call Me Maybe of this season. Like, it's just this massive unknown artist that just comes up and just has this song that everyone knows of, and then they just have to cover it, like we've talked about before on Glee Chat. So I'm just glad that they got it over with Bass 80s doing it, because I know that Meghan Trainor is not the best. The song's very catchy. It kind of reminds me of whoever the hell is the Blurred Lines asshole. It kind of reminds me of that situation all over again, where it's just like, you know, it's catchy, but you don't want to like the song. But Mercedes rocked it, though. She had a really good accent. Not that it was just, I don't know from what nationality
she was fierce.
Meghan Trainor is from, but she, like, was able to try and hit those same vocalese or whatever the official term for it was. So it was good. It was a good performance of it, but it's still not a morally good song. It's it's still rotten.
Uptown Funk. They should have done Uptown Funk.
Oh, that'd be cute.
I'm sorry, spoiler. They are doing Uptown Funk, and I can't wait. It's gonna be so good.
I'm pretty sure they would. It has to be Roderick singing the lead, right? Like it.
I think it's, like, a group performance. Like, there's a few of them.
Okay. And I know they're doing a few songs that I'm a little bit like, really, like, that are a little bit like they're doing Take Me to Church, which I think is, like, a little bit like adult for Glee. I don't know. Like, I thought, like, I was like,
I don't like that song.
I don't love it either, I'm not going to lie, but I think it's, like, a little bit, like, they've done, like, adult, you know, like, I don't know, there's just a bit, it's a bit, like, harsh, I don't know, I'm curious about how they're going to use that, but
spoiler anyway. As well, Madison and Kitty are doing Chandelier, and that song is intense, so I don't know how well that's going to sound, but I just want to say, Madison's voice on I'm All Out of Love kills me every time when she gets a little solo. So I don't know if I remember it.
Mason and Madison both have incredibly good voices, and I really hope that they... They're both Broadway performers. And
I had a dream the other night that they were my new roommates for next year at uni, and I got really excited.
Oh my god, I love them so much. So...
As long as you're okay with that twincest, Jack, I mean, like, that could be a cool situation.
How about this, Jack? Spoiler, another spoiler alert. Apparently,
30 seconds fast forward, please, listeners.
Hang on. What's it about? Do I have to?
Song spoiler.
Okay, that's cool.
Okay.
Mason doing solo, a Queen solo. Like, just here. Doing I Want to Break Free. Yeah, which should be interesting as
Someone
well.
Someone Blaine is doing a Queen song.
I know, I think he's gonna do it better than Blaine. Like I really do.
Don't Stop Me Now. Blaine should never touch anything.
I did not hate Don't Stop Me Now. I didn't hate it, but it was a bit naff.
It's my least favorite song.
Mason Billy Lewis is the actor's name. He has as I've said before, maybe the best male solo voice I've heard on Glee in like a really long time. Like I love a lot of the singers on Glee, but like objectively, he just has a really clean, really nice, really powerful voice. I really love it.
And all out of love because I listen to Glee music every single day, like especially from the later seasons. In All Out of Love, like when in the bridge, when Madison has her little bit and it sounds really good, and then Mason takes over, and then he just smashes out that last chorus with like all the backing vocals, and it sounds incredible. If you haven't gone back and listened to it, do it because it is really good.
I can't remember what the song sounds like. Can you sing me like a chorus so I can catch it?
I'm all out of love. I'm so lost without you.
Oh, right. That was good.
One of the songs that like triggered Sue.
That was like the clean kiss. No, that was right before it.
I think it was like during, maybe. Anyway, there's a few things. We'll talk. Jack, do you have some trivia for us as well?
Yes.
Like, do we want to do the feedback first, or do we want to do trivia first?
Well, I think Jack's trivia is really going to be awesome. We should probably head into that because I want to be as fresh as I can for it.
No, I think do feedback first because then we can cap off the episode and then. Do the trivia.
However you
like, cap off the recap with feedback, and then yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I think the feedback is in response to there is a couple of responses on Facebook. You know, I guess asking about Glee's best memories. Our listeners' best memories about Glee Chat in response to it being our 100th episode. There's a couple of them, and the first one's about me, so I don't want to read it. Should I read it, or is it worse to make someone read it about me, or should I just read it?
You want me to read it?
Okay. Jack, you can read the first one.
Okay. Kimberly Hannah, don't know if I said your name right. Sorry, Kimberly. My favorite memories include anything Natalie has said ever. I am always agreeing with her, and I love it when she brings up other things that she loves, like One Direction and Captain America, because I love those things too. You're the best, Natalie. Everyone else is awesome too, but I just am always on the same page as her. So thank you, Kimberly.
I paid her to write that. No, I didn't. I'm joking. Kimberly, I think I see you on Twitter a lot, which is nice. Kimberly, especially for you, go watch Playing It Cool. You will love it. Like, you will love it. It's so funny. Funny, amazing, gorgeous.
I'm going to check it out. I want to hear it.
It's so good. Chris Evans, can I just say, sorry about Chris Evans' chat, he's so good at slightly rude comedy. Like, some of the best movies I've ever seen him in are, like, that, The Losers, and What's Your Number, which has a terrible premise, but it's such good, like, funny acting in it. And he's really, really good at playing the kind of, like, dirty, like, slobby bro, kind of totally the opposite of Captain America, but he's really good at those kind of characters, and it's really cute.
Well, like, even
really
more
funny.
Mainstream, I find him like that in Fantastic Four as Johnny Flame, because he's kind of,
Johnny Flame's a little bit more arrogant. Like, he's a little, like, Johnny Storm's a little bit more, like, totally full of himself, but it's like... Yeah, it's somewhere in that direction. But he's great at, like, comedic douchebag characters. Not evil douchebag, but, like, kind of, like you know, gross boy characters. And he's great. It's such a good movie. So, Kimberly Hayner, go watch Playing It Cool. Matthew Morrison, Chris Evans, etc. Matthew Morrison threatens to shoot Chris Evans in the head with a gun. So that's
I really need to see this.
It's funny. It's really funny. So
is it like 21 Jump Street violent funny?
No, that's more of a farce. This is like an indie rom-com with some really weird humor. Mm-hmm. Like it's anyway. I'll read the next one from Willow Chadwick, who says, the first Halloween episode will forever be my favorite Glee Chat episode. Thank you to all Glee Chat hosts for never failing to put a smile on my face. Well, thank you very much. That's nice.
If we had a Hall of Fame, like, if we had, like, a website with a Hall of Fame, that would probably have to be the first episode listed.
Yeah. let's go to some tweets in response to the episode. So, yeah, so we had one from Beck Love Hates TV, saying, Mr. Shu will not let rapping go. Just stop. Hashtag shut up, Will. An okay episode, but I dislike everything Sam Shell. Love, Unique, and Beast, which is
preach
nice.
It.
Caitlin, do you want to do the next one?
I would love to do the next
one. You're like, yes, I would.
At Magic is Might is preaching to the choir here. Blaine literally only exists for Kurt. Well, like, they pretend to give him a plot, but he's really only there for Kurt, and that sucks. Hashtag preach.
Yeah, that's yes, we know it sucks. It's very stupid, and anyway. Mitch, do you want to do the next one in response to, like, the vocal adrenaline attitude?
Yeah, Sassmaster Maria, as Jack once stated, has the best Twitter handle that we've ever heard, said...
yeah, it's so good.
Blaine literally only exists... Oh, sorry. As someone who competes in singing competitions, I/my group knows that winning isn't everything. Vocal adrenaline takes it way too far.
Yeah, they were, like, kind of really intense, like, their attitude. Like the, something they said, they're like, you know, we're one of the last, you know, communities of people that kind of accept that, like, being the bad guy is okay if you get to win and stuff. And I don't know, like, I don't really have any response to that. Like, you know, there's some truth in it, but, like, I don't know. They're a bit ridiculous. Like, how many young kids are actually like that, like, en masse? Like, who made them like that? Like, Shelby wasn't that horrible.
No.
I'm sure Jesse wasn't that horrible. Like, Jesse's, you know, kind of insane, but I'm sure he wasn't that bad. Like, you know,
it's just their rebelling that's made him angry, because they had will, so they have to rebel.
That's true. Yeah, and I mean, I know that they were super competitive and pretty ruthless before, but, like, they weren't, like, you know, they were coached by people who weren't totally nasty, so I don't know.
Well, if they were able to if Kurt and Blaine, well, if Blaine was able to recruit them for their wedding, to sing at their wedding, they can't be two terrible people.
Yeah, I don't know.
Can I take the next one, Natalie? The next tweet?
Yes, so I was going to offer it to you.
Okay, because I agree. Hazebian says, watching Will rap Same Love was horrifying, watching Unique sing was wonderful, but the faces of vocal adrenaline, priceless. And I agree so much.
Yeah, they were like, why are we here? What's happening? What is this? I don't know.
Will Schuster is the worst.
Yeah.
It just sucks because
where does one Unique get that
sounded
much?
So good. Unique sounded so good, and Will just sounded horrible, and yeah.
Yeah, Macklemore does a very good job rapping that originally. But where does one get that much KY lube, hypothetically? Because he really didn't have it. But the fact that many people believed that he had it must say something about Will, right?
He's just it for his hair, and Blaine borrows it as well.
Oh, God. Anyway.
Blaine's hair looked especially greased in this episode, I have to say.
Anyway, let's move on. I'll do the last one here. Gleek Freak 22 says, can't believe you guys are going to be releasing your 100th episode. So amazing. Love this podcast. Congrats.
I love Gleek Freak 22.
Thank you.
I follow her, and she retweets a lot of stuff about Diana Agron. I love Gleek Freak
22. Ooh. I'm follow you, Gleek Freak 22. I shouldn't say that as a promise. I'll try and remember to follow you.
That's good. Thank you. We have reached the 100th episode, and it is here, and it is... a big deal. And just to wrap off our celebrations, Jack has prepared a little bit of a trivia quiz for us to compete in, just to test our Glee memory and our Glee chat memory. I don't know if flashbacks will help. I also did some Glee quizzes for Hyperball recently, in the hiatus, so that should be maybe helping as well. But Jack knows literally everything, so I bet it's going to be really obscure and hard. How do you want to do this, Jack? Like, are we competing to answer? Do we have to have a buzzer, or are you going to ask us individual questions?
All right, so, okay, how it's going to work is, just before, I did not make the questions that hard. I don't think they're hard. I thought I'd go a little easier, except if you... There is one question at the very end, which I think is probably more difficult, and
okay.
That's like the tiebreaker. So how I'm doing it is, we've got six questions. I'm going to go around the circle. I'll go around the circle, so I'll go like Mitch, Caitlin, Natalie, and then, yeah.
Oh, I'm so first.
And then if all of you get two answers by the end of it, and it's a tie, then... Or if there's a tie at the end, I'll ask the tiebreaker question, all right? So you'll get two questions each.
If it's not right, like if say I get it wrong, does that question then get passed on to someone else to answer and with the opportunity to score more points?
Okay, yeah, okay. If Natalie can't get it, then we'll use a buzzer for the other names, okay? So if somebody can't get it, then Mitch goes, Mitch, and then says if he knows the answer, okay?
Okay, so that's, I'm familiar with that kind of format of game shows. So basically, yeah, I get to, like, kind of poach it and, like, secure the win. Should someone else get something that I find to be easy to, like, win, I'll be like, yes, I got that point. Okay.
Well, if they can't answer it.
Right, only if they can answer it. So, and then also, I'm assuming that whatever tie buzzer would be another buzzard thing. So we say our names, Jack? Is that what you want?
Say your names for the buzzer, yeah.
Okay, so you'll be like our judge to say who like went first and whatever.
Oh God, okay. My name's so much longer than everyone else's.
All right,
you just say Nat just for the moment, whatever. Even if you don't prefer that. Yeah.
Whatever.
All right. So first one, I'll go Mitch, Caitlin, Natalie. All right. So Mitch.
Yes.
Number one.
Yes.
Name two songs performed in the Spanish Teacher episode.
Oh, fuck. You know what's funny? Okay. I give this as an example, Jack, not expecting you to actually take it, because you were coming up with this before, and the only one I can remember right now at the top of my head is La Isla Bonita. Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
And then I want to just, like, go out on a limb and say my last one, because I feel like it's really obvious. I'm talking too much for a game show. She Bangs?
No.
No!
Okay. I don't think Ricky Martin performed any of his own songs.
Someone buzz in! You're losing points!
Yeah, so if Caitlin, Natalie, if you can think of two other ones other than what Mitch said.
Oh, we have to think of two other ones?
Oh, that's hard.
Okay, okay, we'll just go one other one. One other one, then. Say your name.
I can't remember the name of the song!
Oh, no!
I've repressed this episode. I don't remember.
That's why I chose it.
Just so bad.
I didn't expect you to actually take this episode, Jack. That's why I suggested it as, like, a bad example.
Buzz, Natalie.
Yep.
One of them is that one that goes, Bumbaleo. Is that the name of the song?
Yeah, that's actually a mashup, so you're going to get, like,
I feel like she should get a quarter of a point because that was half of a half of an answer.
Okay, all right. No one gets this answer. Okay, you could have had that one Natalie said mashed up with Hero by
All I can remember was Bumbaleo.
Or you had a Gloria Estefan song, Sexy and I Know It. Oh, you had
Sexy and I Know It. How did I not know? Wait, what were the other ones?
We had A Little Less Conversation by Will,
ugh,
which is terrible. With that and that featured Brittany and Mike as bulls. Anyway.
I just remember Santana's face being so offended by that.
Was the Bumbaleo one the one where they wear the funny clothes?
Yeah, and
they wear the hats and the shoes.
How did I not get Sexy and I Know It, though? For real. Is it across the board 0 points right now, Jack? Natalie didn't get a quarter of a point.
You got one. You've got to get the full.
Fine, okay.
Move on.
Right, that was Caitlin, tough.
Oh, Lord.
Your question. What was Vocal Adrenaline's original song that they performed in season 2?
Fuck.
What?
In season 2?
Yep, there is one.
What?
Fuck.
I'll give you a clue. Yeah, Sunshine Corazon, obviously.
This is the most vulgar I've been.
Original song.
Okay, I'll give you one more clue. It was in the finale.
Well, yeah.
I remember her standing on stage, and I have no idea what she's saying. I don't know.
Are you, handing it over.
Pass.
Okay, this is wrong, Mitch. I'm going to go really general here. Was the song titled Beautiful?
No.
Okay.
Natalie, do you know?
Was it something about New York? No, I didn't know that song they sung was original. I thought it was like a Celine Dion song or something.
Right. Like a Dreamgirls song.
Yeah, generic. Yeah. No, alright, it was As Long As You're There, performed by Sunshine and Vocal Adrenaline.
That sounded like not an original song, which is probably a good thing.
Oh. I can picture her, and the music and the itself just goes out of my head.
Yeah.
I don't even remember how that one goes.
I did not know that was an original song. That's lame. Anyway, go on.
This is why Jack's our Glee Chat encyclopedia. Okay, Natalie, I'm here.
Oh, I'm afraid. Natalie,
I think you'll get this. This is an easier one, I think. Who told Will that Emma ran away from the altar, and what was their reasoning for doing so? Why were they the person who did it?
It was Sue. And allegedly...
No.
Oh, hang on. No, but Sue...
I mucked up this question. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. No, I'll rephrase this. Who told Will that... Oh, now I've just mucked this up now. Shit. Okay.
Sorry. Do you want me to answer the full question?
Okay, yeah, I'll give you that.
Hang on. Sue told Will... I will explain the entire situation. Sue told Will that Emma had left, basically, and she comes up the aisle in a bride's dress. Allegedly, she thinks that this is, like, a helpful situation. Like, I'm trying to make this less of a shit show than it already is. Later, Finn tells Will that he kissed Emma and that was part of the reason. Is that what you wanted to know?
Okay, so that is what happens. However, the question I was meaning to ask, but I fucked up, was Finn doesn't tell Will that he kissed Emma at that point, but they're sitting down talking, and then Santana comes up and says that the party's still going to go on or something like that, or like letting him know what's going to happen. And the reason why she got nominated for that is because everyone thinks she's the most heartless and could convey it.
I was thinking about Emma's wedding in season one. I was so confused.
Oh, she does have more than one wedding, doesn't she?
If you have another question, you can ask me. That one was confusing.
Okay, all right.
Can you make one up on the spot?
Yep. What I'll do is I will use one of the tiebreaker as one of the questions, and I'll think I'm a tiebreaker if it comes. Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty hard for Natalie. I feel like that's not fair, because then she's getting the hard tiebreaker.
No, I'm not asking Natalie the tiebreaker. It's just whoever it lands on.
Okay, yeah. So it's still kind of like...
This is a fail. All right, so Natalie, what is the name of the dance recruit New Directions tries to get from Vocal Adrenaline in season one?
Dakota Stanley.
Yep.
What? I didn't even understand the question. Like, I heard it, but...
Season one. He's really short.
Oh, the coach.
Oh my god, the coach!
The dance. He's not a coach, he's a choreographer.
I heard dance recruit. I thought it was a same person.
Okay.
Yeah,
sorry. Anyway,
that was
confusing.
Okay, Mitch. Name who and who was going to play Frank and Ferdinand in Rocky Horror? And now there are three answers to this question, because three characters were either did play Frank and Ferdinand or were going to play Frank and Ferdinand.
Uh-huh.
So there's three people.
Okay, Mercedes.
Yep.
Finn.
Nope.
Can I give my last guess? No, that might help out them. No, I'm not going to. I could have sworn Finn... No, he's fucking Brad. What the hell? I was convinced that he's walking around his underwear to be freaking further.
Do you give up?
Why? Can I guess more? That's it.
Okay.
Natalie.
Yep. Yep.
Mercedes.
Yep.
Mike Chang. And yep. Will.
Yep. That's it.
I never would have gotten Mike Chang. Natalie, this game is fast to go to you.
Yeah, he was the one that wanted it, and then his parents were like, no. Or he was like, can't, because of parents.
Oh my god, I have to rewatch that episode. Holy crap.
And I'm so glad we never had to saw Will as Frankenfurter.
Oh wow. That was a good... No, these are legit questions. I'm appreciating them. The only way that any of us can win, though, is, like, if one of us steals 2 points in a row.
Oh, I don't know. I think it's all a mess. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, Mitch, I was going to give you this question, but I thought, no, this, you get this way too easy. So, Caitlin.
Oh, name, okay.
Name 5 songs sung by Quinn Fabray. Actually, I'll make that easier. Name 3 songs sung by Quinn
Fabray. Oh, I would have gotten that.
Oh, my God.
Easy peasy. I can't wait to buzz
in. Quinn. I see it every time she sings. Oh, God.
Nellie, I'm going to fight you for this buzz.
I'll give you a song. I will accept a song where she's prominently featured in as well, if that's easier. Ugh.
Song. That one song that she sung with Sam. All the Unholy Trinity songs that I can't remember any names of. Oh god, I don't know any songs. They just flew out of my head. I pass.
Mitch, Mitch, Mitch.
Yeah,
oh, Never Can, Say Goodbye, Set Me Free, Problem, Sell Back Tango. I can keep on going on if you want me to.
Holy shit, Mitch.
Whoa.
Go on.
I was writing them down to my credit. I didn't just have those other.
I guess that would be like asking me to name 5 songs that Blaine has sung, so...
Yeah.
I was so excited. So now, Natalie, I need to steal your question, and then we can tiebreak it. How's that sound?
Oh, great. Okay.
So, Caitlin, you can still do it for fun, just to, like, shut me out of my points. This is getting intense.
Well, this tiebreak is actually a really, really hard one, so I'm thinking maybe I should quickly think of one up on this.
It's fine, because Natalie already has 2 points.
Had 3 questions. I haven't had a second question.
Okay.
I don't understand. How many questions have we had now?
Yeah, Natalie, you've got one more question left, and then it's the tiebreaker.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to steal this one so bad.
I've made this question up on the spot. Name the set list from the New Directions performance of Regionals in season 4.
Okay.
Fucking hell.
Fuck that.
Are you serious? Okay.
Game over.
Okay. Season 4 Regionals.
Yeah.
Was that the one where...
That was the very end of the season. The very end of the season. And that was the same episode where Will and Emma got married in.
What the fuck?
So it wasn't the one where they did Michael Jackson.
No, that was season 3.
No.
No idea. No idea. Can you name it, Jack?
They did Hall of Fame.
Caitlin, yep.
Caitlin, buzz in. Steal my point.
Buzz. That's the only one I remember was Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Singing in the Hall of Fame. Did they do...
And Blaine and Tina sang one.
Did they do the dashboard one?
That was national.
No, that was Nationals.
Oh, God. Natalie wins. Natalie wins.
You guys give up?
Yes.
Okay. We've still got a tie... Okay, yeah, Natalie would win. Okay, well, the set list was Hall of Fame, I Love It, and their original song, All or Nothing.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, that Marley wrote.
Yeah, Marley.
Yeah. Okay.
So Natalie is on 2 points, Mitch is on 1, Caitlin is on 0.
Yeah! We're not playing by golf rules? Lowest score wins?
Okay, the tiebreaker was, what episode of season 4 did Ken Tanaka appear in? And this is a bit of a tricky question. Yeah.
I can't name it, but it's the one where Beast leaves her husband.
No. That was season 3.
Really?
No, it wasn't. Really? Was that plotline in season 3?
End of season 3.
The Beast getting abused one.
Wow.
Then no.
This was in season 4 in the shooting episode when Beast confesses shooting star? At that point her love for Will, and then Will sets her up online, and the first match she gets is Ken Tanaka, and I was so excited because I thought, fuck yeah, Ken Tanaka and Coach Beast to get together, and that never happened.
Yeah. Okay.
I forgot that was a thing in that episode.
Were they too hard, guys? I'm sorry.
That's totally the one, that's the situation I meant, the whole online dating thing, but like, I forgot that was like not in the same episode.
No, that was,
and but, I forgot yeah. that that Beast ever fancied Will, and now I have to go drown myself, so...
No, that was very legit, Jack. Those are very legit questions. They weren't, like, over my head.
I'm sorry, guys, that was too hard.
No, they were perfect.
It's fine. They're just so details-based.
Yeah, it's not like they're difficult to remember, it's just, like, you have to really be specific. Like, Will, Frankenfurter, you know? I feel like you made that Quinn question for me. The Quinn question, like, what Quinn songs she sang. Did you make that, like, just to, like, sway it more toward me? I sense some favoritism here, guys.
No, I didn't. It was going to land on you, and so I didn't, because you would have gotten them.
Oh, good point. Yes, I never meant to got that Quinn question.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Sorry, that was fun. I appreciate that. We haven't done a Glee Chat trivia. Couldn't have
written a Blaine question? Come on,
Jack. Okay. All right, I'll ask you a question that I don't know the answer to. What is Blaine's coffee order?
Oh.
Oh, God.
Oh. I know this, too.
Fuzz.
Yep.
Well, I know it's Caitlin's question, but it's a medium drip.
Yeah, that's right.
Kurtz is a grande non-fat latte. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Mocha latte. Sorry.
How? How do you know these things, guys? I don't.
You don't understand what the Klain fandom was like at that time, Mitch.
You know my coffee order? Of course.
You haven't seen what I've seen. Of course I do. Yeah.
Nobody knows the Klain that you've seen. Yikes.
It's
okay. Terrible. That's it. I'm sorry if the quiz is too hard, guys.
No, that was fun. I want to do like 100 more of those. Those are great.
Oh, God. Imagine if we had trivia every episode.
We would not be you friends at the end. You'd
end up hating me.
Yeah, probably. Be like, Jack, stop!
It'd be worse than playing, like, Mario Kart against a friend or something. Like,
hey, I could have made them a lot harder. Trust me.
We'd have to have other people writing questions trying to fool Jack.
Oh, it'd be impossible. Like, we'd have
That'd
to come up...
That'd be a fun game. Try and find something I don't know.
And Natalie did once. It was in one of her quizzes. It was like, what's Kurt's jersey number?
Oh, yeah, in your hyperbole ones. Right. Yeah.
What was it? What was the number?
I don't know, I got it wrong.
So there we go, I found one that stumped him.
Okay, Jack, I've got a question for you that I've just literally come across. I'll ask Jack one trivia question. I just came across it when Googling Kenton Tanaka after you asked that question, because I could not remember what episode it was. I was like, when? And I came across a picture. So, Jack... When Ken was still a featured character on the show, how am I going to phrase this? He had a sign in the sports office telling people that they couldn't use a particular item. Hmm. What did the sign say? What item was it talking about?
It was either the fax machine or the laminator. No, the coffee machine.
What?
Coffee machine. No, it wasn't. I'm going to say the fax machine.
No.
Oh, am I close?
Closer than coffee machine.
Okay, the printer.
No.
Laminator.
No.
What else is there? That's like all the office supplies out there. The straight cutter? I don't know.
Well. It said, you must be trained by Ken Tanaka to use this blank.
Yeah, I know the training thing. I know that I can picture the sign because I think that was really funny.
Yeah, it was.
copier.
No.
What is it? I have to hear now.
Shredder.
Okay.
The shredder.
Aww.
Oh, yeah.
I was close. Sorry.
Shredder gets me every time.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's probably enough nonsense.
So now that some of us have embarrassed ourselves.
Yeah. Now that Jack doesn't know a thing, we can go.
Caitlin, how would you not know like a single song that Quinn's ever sang? That is embarrassing. That is embarrassing. And it's almost embarrassing too.
I was struggling to think of solos, like where she's the only one singing.
Your Papa Don't Preach.
Papa Don't Preach, Set Me Free.
World, the pregnant
song titles like don't register with me.
Lucky, the big duets were like Lucky, Pretty and Unpretty.
Pretty Unpretty. Yeah. I think, well, I'm glad Jack, I have to admit, I'm glad Jack gave me, like, you can just name ones that she was, like, mainly featured in, because that's, like, a little bit easier, because, yeah, solo songs.
I could see the performances, like, in my mind. Yeah, like that time I couldn't tell you what they were.
Like, that time she sung it, like, Nyada, when Rachel was going to be naked, like, that was weird.
I don't even remember that
one.
My
love song.
Looking around. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
What was it?
Love song by
Sarah Burridge.
She sang. Wait, Quinn sang love song.
With Santana.
With Santana. Oh yes, she did on the stage.
Gonna write you a
yes,
love
they
song.
Did all three of them.
Yeah,
okay.
When Rachel was gonna be naked, it was a really weird time, like for everyone. So yeah, let's move on. Okay, so yeah, does anyone have anything that they want to say before we go about Glee, etc.?
Happy 100.
Woo.
We're the first Hyperbola podcast to reach 100. That's
a
big
totally
deal.
Forgotten where, I've totally forgotten my like recording, and I've just gone into like, oh yeah, I'm just talking to people. This is fine. Like I forgot that this is like meant to be proper. So yeah, we'll on that note, probably we should go, and we'll see you guys next week for the wedding episode.
No, and is there going to be a spoiler chat after this?
Yeah, let's talk for a second about a couple of big
spoilers. We'll sign off.
We'll sign off like we're gone for real.
And then you can go.
This is an illusion goodbye.
Then, yeah, because there's something Caitlin and I need to scream about.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. All right, so if you don't want to hear some like major spoilers, we will see you next week. If you do, keep listening after the exit music or whatever it is that Mitch does to the podcast, and you can hear us have some like off-air ranting about spoilers. So, yeah. Okay, so I've been Natalie. Bye-bye.
I'm Mitch.
I'm Jack.
I'm Caitlin.
Bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Okay, so, yeah, how about that? Yeah, so, adding to
burn, right, and it starts to spread.
Adding to Blaine's misery.
Oh, dear God.
I am in.
Seriously, Mitch, do you know about this?
I read it on Twitter. I responded back to you. Of course I know about it.
The burning down the house situation?
I don't know what happens. I just saw that you tweeted.
Okay, it was in a synopsis that's coming out, and basically I saw a picture
burn.
On Tumblr that stop it, that was, I saw a picture on Twitter that was like the Warblers in different blazers, like red blazers, and it looked like that, and I'm like, oh, I was like, okay, maybe Blaine.
Are they on fire?
No, they're not on fire, just wait. Blaine and Kurt and Rachel have
combustion.
Because I saw like that the regionals competitors was like Vocal Adrenaline, New Directions, and someone else, like not the Warblers. And I was like, oh, what happened? And then I was like, oh, maybe they decided to like team up because they thought they'd be stronger together, and because Blaine is whipped, and so, you know, Kurt was like, give me your kids. He'd be like, okay. And that they made a conscious choice to combine the groups. Not that I think that that's, like, allowed, but that they made a choice to combine the groups to have a better chance of winning because, you know, instead of Kurt and Rachel doing the actual job of filling up the Glee Club, they just, like, fall back on Blaine because he's better at doing things than they are.
Yeah. And Blaine has no backbone anymore, so he will do whatever.
What happens is either because these kids transfer or because they, you know, temporarily or because they have, like, no other option or something like that, we have the Warblers joining, at least some of the Warblers joining the Glee Club, because Dalton Academy burns to the ground.
Burns to the ground.
Fire starts to burn.
It's too bad that we've already done that On Fire song that Mercedes did, that disco one, whatever that was.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fire songs, though.
This school is on fire.
Oh, God.
Down, so down the ring of fire.
Oh, my God.
There better be.
He hasn't had enough things taken from him this season. He has to have his job and his like haven taken away from him too.
Yeah.
No, I really hope
well, because he's not allowed to have it. It's not related to Kurt, so he's not allowed to have it.
Is this going to be a sad thing? Are we going? Is this going to be a depressing episode where we've lost a lot? You know.
No, and I think they're going to play it as a joke
because people live there.
I don't think they will. I think they'll play it seriously.
They
I
board think there.
Funny because like when I read it, I was like, "This literally sounds like a fan fiction," and I literally didn't think it was like real. And then I thought, "This is actually happening." Okay.
How often does it happen to us, Jack? So where you and I have been like, "Is this fanfic or real?" That's sad that we say that about our own show.
Apparently, that's how they're going to have enough people for sectionals. Is that they still only managed to get themselves 4 kids or whatever, but you know they got Blaine to bring over some warblers, and it's just like,
well, that's a Deus Ex Machina I never expected.
Why
I guess
couldn't they just. I would love any random excuse to have Ryder, Jake, Marley, Unique, and Sugar to come back. Like, just
and Joe,
a better
and Rory.
Excuse for them to come back rather than the school of the Warblers, like Dalton burning down, you know?
Are those kids even going to have, like, plots, or are they just going to be, like, stuck in the back of the choir room? Like you know that like that lead Warbler who's, like, super cute and, like, might have had a thing for Jane? Is he going to have a plot? Can he have a plot? Because I'd like that.
I want more, like, these blatantly gay but closeted warblers. I think they're kind of funny. I like that
joke.
We
have girlfriends. Yeah, that's really weird. That's really weird.
I assume you'll be sleeping in each other.
But did Sue burn Dalton down? That's what I want to know.
To get clean all the way back together?
Because she has crossed so many lines this season. Arson doesn't seem that far of a stretch.
No, and it's like, since Kurt's still with Walter.
And then she goes to jail. Please.
She's gonna have to kill Walter, though. That's the thing, because like she said, she was going to.
Oh my!
Maybe
please.
You can light my fire.
Maybe Walter's in the fire. Maybe that's it. Maybe she sees the opportunity, has to take it, and says, "I'll just make it look like an accidental fire." He's somehow the only human being in this building. Done. That's my fanfic for Glee today.
Holy shit, that's
that's what I can contribute.
That is so weird.
I feel like he's going to die. I really don't think Walter's going to survive this season. I legitimately don't.
Holy shit. I don't think he's going to die.
I really think he's going to die. I think it's going to be...
This is not Teen Wolf or shows where, like...
No, I think it's going to be comical. I think Glee's going to try...
Parrish walks out because he's a phoenix.
I think it's going to be like alive. A throwaway line that Kurt's going to be like, yeah, Walter hasn't texted me back in 3 days, and it'll just be like, is that fire I smell? Yeah. And it'll switch back to the scene.
No, please.
It's some
no.
cracked up shit. I don't know. I don't see him surviving. I think, yes, on top of arson, Caitlin, she's also not going to see murder as being wrong.
Because he's going to
chase. Wouldn't she have time to raise her baby? Anyone else ever think about that? Like, where's Robin in this whole situation?
I don't know. Hopefully not on fire. Oh my god, that's another thing. Apparently, Michael Bolton, the real Michael Bolton,
yes,
is starring in the show, like as in the father of her alleged father of the child. Maybe it's either going to be like that she's been like lying and that he's like coming to like, you know, like charge her like for using like his name or it really will be the father of the child. But yeah,
I want him to sing that Justin
happen is they because we know that Sue likes to have sex in random places. What's going to happen? Is Sue and Michael Bolton are going to start having sex in Dalton, and then Sex on Fire is going to be playing in the background.
I hate you.
You know what I want Michael Bolton to sing? That Justin Bieber song called Maria. I don't want him to sing it, but that one where he's like, Maria, you're not my baby, you're not my girl. It's like a celebrity fan stalking song. I think that would just be like the most appropriate moment for that song, if any. If ever there needed to be.
I See Fire by Ed Sheeran. See, I just want them to sing a really cheesy fire song.
Yeah, there's plenty.
No, Dalton Academy is the best thing Glee has ever done. I can't believe they and it's worth a lot of money. I mean, like, in the show. I can't believe they're literally going to be like, Blaine's happy, burn it down.
Where's everyone going
to
live?
Everything else, because he's going to be married to Kurt at this point, so.
Oh, Jesus. In, like, a real-life situation, if, like, a whole boarding school or, like, a dorm burnt down and some people like went there from like across the country, would the school just shack everyone up in a hotel from the insurance money or something? Like, I don't know, the school just
like,
stop that year.
That's the thing. I feel like that, like, you know, that they are immediately what do you call it, like that they are yeah, that that the reason that the Glee Club, you know, that the Warblers will be allowed to participate is because, like, some of them had to transfer to McKinley because they were, like, local and it was, like, meant to be the closest school or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. But I assume that you would just go to a different school at that point and it's all said and done at that point. So.
That's going to be, like, a lot of boys in the club. That's going to be, like, two girls or, well, like, three girls and, like,
if you think about, like, Pitch Perfect and the plot of it being an all-female a cappella group and how it can't hold a bass because there isn't a lower voice for it, that might help. And just to have more males in it, because you can feature the female voice solos and you can still have the males as the bass parts, if you know what I mean.
Oh yeah, potentially, but it's gonna be like, you know,
if this is a cappella anymore,
it's gonna be like
because, like, because when you tweeted it about it, I wrote back, apparently you didn't see it, I wrote back, I said, so this kind of explains their You Spin Me Right Round, like a record baby, drum set, because that was supposed to transition us into the fact that they're going to be performing no longer a cappella, because they're going to be with the New Directions, and I guess that, I'm assuming that a cappella is said and done on Glee, like that's it.
I don't know, like,
yeah.
I don't know what you meant by that.
I was just joking, because I was like, obviously, it was so random to have the drum machines in their invitationals performances, and I was just like, "Oh, I found the reason why."
Even then, they should have been a cappella. I love You Spin Me Right Round.
Yeah. Wasn't there another spoiler we had to talk about? Was it Clean's shit or?
Well, I don't know. This wedding. Yeah. I just can't.
You said,
like,
they're going to get married. Are you positive on that? Because the promo didn't make that look like that was happening.
In the promo shots that have been released, they're trying to disguise everything. But you can see Kurt and Blaine are wearing black suits, where all the groomsmen are in white.
Right.
I think that, yeah, they're going to be getting married, or they're going to at least attempt to get married. And I'm hoping that last minute that they've been trolling us with grassroots spoilers, no. And at last minute they decide not to. But I don't think that'll happen. But seriously, how freaking unhealthy is that? Well, like,
shouldn't, like, the fact that Walter was still in the end of the episode signal to us that he's like either dead or something extreme happens, or like a big time gap happens.
What it signals is that Kurt is a bag of dicks, basically. Kurt is a terrible person, is what it signals. That he's just like, oh, dating Walter, if you know what I mean. Like, that's what it signifies.
Like, and I just quadruple
can't.
Date.
I just can't. I need them to leave. Like, I need them to split up. Like, I don't care how.
I want to ship Kurt off to Pig Farts or something. Just away. Go.
But, like, from the promo that they released, it looks like Sue is going to push them to get married at this point. And I'm like,
yeah.
Sue is fandom in this season.
Yes.
So basically, they're like, fandom is pushing them to get married. Have at it, fandom. And I'm like, this is not my fandom.
Who else do you guys think is going to...
They're that aware of it. And there's been criticism. Like, there's been in-show criticism. Like, you've had Becky, you know, in those bits where it's like Sue is fandom, you've had Becky as the other voice of fandom being like, but it doesn't even look like they like each other, you know, like, you know, stuff like that. Like, they've had that, like, if you know what I mean. Like, they've had, so are we meant to, like, think that Sue is right? Like, or do you think that they actually know what they're doing and that they are going to give it and then, but then admit that it was all shitty and then break them up again, finally and properly?
Well, it's just annoying because other than all that Hurt Locker shit, they were writing them really well and they were addressing the reasons, the legit reasons that are presented in the show as to why they don't work together, you know, and the breakup was legit what would have happened. So I just don't understand, if they've done such a good job writing it that way, then why are they changing it all now?
They had a really good chance to actually do some development and they were just like, nah.
Nope. Yeah. Sex done.
Also, they seem to be doing a few songs in the 2009 flashback episode, which I still don't really understand.
Yeah, these songs are weird.
They're like, I Kissed a Girl, like Katy Perry, like, again? Haven't they done it,
the
like,
third
twice?
Cover.
Wait. I'm not caught up. So what's happening? There's a.
They're doing Pony.
Do they mean Genuine? Pony. Like, that's okay. All right.
Right in.
Yeah, oh, I know it. Oh, I know it.
So wait, they're doing a flashback episode to the another song. They're doing like
popular from Wicked, because I've wanted them to do that for ages. But
so wait, let me get this straight. Are they doing After the Wedding? It's going to be flashback to 2009, and that's going to be like the hits from then.
I don't know what episode it's going to be that that's happening in. I don't think they've kept it under wraps, haven't they? I think it's like episode 12 or something. It's not like, it's not the next episode.
How many do we have? 13. So that's like in that one, that 2 hour chunk.
I don't know. Maybe not 12. It might be like 11. I don't know. It's very confusing. Like, but it's really weird. And I don't know. This is stressful. I hate this show sometimes. It's so mean and terrible. No, I just can't. It's like, why is nothing making sense? Why can't they just make it good? It's so not hard to make good. Like, come on, guys. Come on. But yeah, I don't know, The Rise and Fall of Sue Sylvester, that's one of the episode's titles where it's got her mum coming back and I think Michael Bolton as well.
Jail.
Yeah, do you think it's going to be like Sue goes down once and for all? Oh, and like if they make the call to make her like a bad character, like a bad person?
She's already there.
I mean, but she's been really good with Beast. I mean, I know that like that's not saying that much. Like,
yeah. Well, know, she was Hitler good with Kurt before too. And he was
to his family, so like, you know,
She was good with Kurt, she was good with Blaine, with Dave separately, but then she also, like, you know, she cried over like the suicide, but then she like split up Blaine and Dave so that she could get Clayne back together, thus hurting both of those people she seemed to care about before. So I don't think it matters that she was nice to Beast at all. I really don't, because it's also weird because like the show is like once again lampshading when they're saying, you know, Will's like, no one makes fun of my friends and gets away with it. And she's like, I do all the time. And I was like,
I don't know. I don't know. It sounds like that she's going to go out for good, if you know what I mean. Like, that she's going to be
dead,
down for good, which is interesting.
Is there going to be... No, legitimately, though. Is there going to be a character-written death before this season of Glee ends? Like,
no.
I'll bullshit aside, like, for real.
Tina.
I really doubt it.
Tina?
Like, it's not really that kind of show. But,
like, I'm thinking of, like, a Mean Girls death, like, if they actually killed her in the end of Mean Girls by the bus.
No, they didn't. No, I don't think so.
Like, that's the kind of death I can imagine happening. And, I don't know, maybe if, like, Sue and then everyone, like, okay. As opposed to, like, mourning it, like, we half expect them to, but I don't know. I don't know.
I don't think so. Okay. But I don't know.
I mean, I'm either dead or jail right now for Sue. Either way, I'd be happy.
Yeah. I don't know. It does seem like she's kind of, you know, she's, just like that she can't possibly have, like, a happy ending.
I hope not.
But yeah, let me tell you about, you guys wanted the Spencer thing as well.
Yeah, oh, that's what it was. Yeah.
This is in Child Star, which is going to be the episode after, the wedding.
Okay.
Hang on. Yeah?
I don't know if I want to hear this.
It's just cute crush stuff. It's like nothing. Like, it's just like Roderick.
Before you say it, I was about to say, is it Sam? Does he have a crush on Sam?
I wish. No. Despite their obvious differences, this is the official synopsis.
Uh-huh.
Gleek's Roderick and Spencer discover they have something in common. They each need the other's help to overcome seemingly insurmountable obstacles. While a doughy Roderick is in desperate straits trying to measure up to the rigorous physical standards Sue demands of her students, Spencer is equally desperate to catch the eye of Roderick's bookish lab partner, who seems utterly unimpressed with the gay jock. The two strike an unlikely alliance, but they make minimal progress in their tasks until fate intervenes and an act of faith takes center stage. Meanwhile, Mason grows increasingly frustrated when his attempts to flirt with Jane are constantly being thwarted by his dominant and controlling twin sister, forcing him to finally stand up for himself with unexpected results.
Bam, the kiss.
Just saying.
They released that in depth of the synopsis, like, officially?
Yeah.
What the? Yeah. That, like, gives away the whole episode. I can imagine now.
Yeah,
every scene's gonna...
like that.
Excited for, like, if we love Spencer that much, I'm excited for him to be, like, trying to impress this, like, cute nerd.
Is this going to be Spencer Roderick in the end? Because is it going to be, like, a dual thing, like, Mason gets his sister, and Spencer gets Roderick? Like, the person that they didn't initially see is the person they get or something?
You know what, Mitch? I don't think that the show is actually going to have, a positive... like, incest storyline where they're like, he gets his sister again. I don't think that that's where the show is going. Somehow, I mean,
Unexpected results. Unexpected results. That's so open. I don't know. Mason, I'm not really your sister.
Jesus.
Something.
I don't know, man. Like, that's how I'm reading it. Maybe I'm weird, but, like, seriously, the way it's phrased, it's like, oh, okay. Like, really, really, really weird.
Caitlin, this is like reverse Veronica Mars. Veronica and Duncan.
God.
Oh, you got.
And Aaron Eccles is in the picture too.
And Aaron Eccles is in the picture too. Oh, God. Natalie, please just watch that show already. Do yourself the favor. You too,
Jack. One day.
I know. We've talked about it way too much. I think you need to get on it.
But yeah. So that should be interesting with a little bit more of a focus on the new kids later down the line.
Well, at least we get something with them because it's weird. Yeah, obviously we know that, but it's nice. It's gonna be nice to like get like a full thing of them, like whatever else they're doing. Because like Jane has some cute little like dancing moves that I want to see more of. Did you notice that she was like dancing during All About That Bass or something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was like, you know, a really interesting performer during that song, and she wasn't even singing. She was just like in the background. So I'm kind of hoping for another Jane solo where it's like not as vocalized. It's more of like a belt.
Yeah, I'm not super stoked on Jane, but I feel like we haven't, like, seen, like,
no.
much at all,
like, we
really.
Saw the, we saw the first episode, and that was it. She did nothing else past that.
Just weird. I don't even know if she's had, like, lines, like, so, yeah.
Well, her and Spencer, I don't know if this is supposed to be, like, standing out, kind of like how Puck and Kurt in the background were friends, but it seems like her and Spencer seem to be together and chit-chatting, and they're behind, like, background scenes.
So, yeah. Like, Kitty and Spencer.
I
love Kitty and Spencer, like, a lot. Like, I really, really like that. I just love Kitty in general. I just love her. I love her.
I wish we got more of her and Unique in this episode. I just wanted to have one conversation with her and Unique. Like, hey, we're the lone survivors. Like,
I miss the new direction so much.
Yeah. I know. I miss Marley. I think I'm going to watch... isn't she on The Flash now? No, she's Wonder Woman. That's right. We had the whole
Supergirl.
Conversation.
No, she's Supergirl.
She's Supergirl, not
Flash. And that pilot has not filmed. So.
Okay.
It's not ready yet.
No, it's not yet cooked. But I do want to really get into that because I miss her on this show. I really
do. She was in Whiplash, which was Oscar nominated.
Was Whiplash the Ellen Page movie?
No.
Miles Teller.
That's Whip It about Roller Derby.
There we go.
It was the drumming movie with Miles Teller.
Yeah, he just plays a really angry, unpleasant boy who loves drumming more than Marley. But yeah, she's in it for a little while.
Yeah. This is like the Glee chat after dark that never was. This is fun.
Well, no, we're recording.
We're still Glee. I know. Yeah.
This is a lot more lax than because we have had like quite a while now. So
congratulations, you've gotten through this whole episode, right, listener, because I'm impressed like that you did that.
Yeah.
It was a fun time. All right,
so on that, you know, that was all of our spoiler chat, and we will talk to you guys next week if you've hung on about, you know, the horrible wedding that is happening.
We will be screaming a lot, unhappily.
Good for Brittany and Santana, even though it's a bit, like, weirdly fast.
Yeah. There's a whole bunch of shit. I know there's going to be ships we never expected to happen, like, random out of the blue.
The last time there was a wedding of, like, Will and Emma, like, you know, Quinn and Santana slept together.
Everyone
and
all banged.
Sorts of things happened, so...
Blaine and Kurt slept together, so...
Did Mercedes get with anyone at that wedding?
No, she didn't.
Oh, I don't know.
Base 80s wasn't with Sam
didn't,
at that point.
Trust me.
No, you would have known. All right.
Sam
so.
And Brittany, but, yeah.
Well, yeah, we'll see everyone for Sex Pollen Part 2.
Jesus. Great. All right. See you guys later.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Bye.